Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You turn on!
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 130. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins, and our first-time guest today, Large from Barstool. At Large Barstool is your Twitter handle.
Yep.
Yep, that's it. That's all we're going to call you. Unless you want us to call you anything
at
else.
At Large Barstool.
Yeah, At Large Barstool is perfect. Thanks for having me on. It's about time. We've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, we wanted to find... This is not a shot at your character, but we wanted to find something negative, and then you'll come back on for something positive. Actually, Francis today is like... It's like, yeah, if I come on, can we do a good movie? I'm like, yeah, well, we will.
No. Right.
We will, yeah. But you probably... I actually don't even want to say probably. You definitely see the most movies in the office outside of myself and Ken Jack.
Yeah.
For sure. You honestly see everything we review at this point.
Yeah, I think so. And part of the reason is I have three kids.
Yep.
So I have a 14-year-old, 11-year-old, and an 8-year-old girl, boy, girl. So I see stuff with them. So that's why I saw Alita this weekend. I liked it a lot. I think I liked it more than most people.
We liked it more than most people, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you and Trill both did not like it at all. I definitely liked it the most out of three.
No, I liked it.
I don't know.
Trill, you gave it like a 50.
I gave it the highest score.
No, I definitely gave it the highest score by like a large margin.
A 60 is like, I'll watch it on TV.
You gave it a 60. Jeff, I think you gave it like a 72, and I gave it like an 85.
Okay, fair. Fair.
But the majority of times that I go, since I have the weird, I don't do radio on Tuesdays, I sneak out and I see a movie with my wife on Tuesdays, and I usually go to a Dolby Theater. So I think
so
Alita in the Dolby Theater is probably a 69, where it should be only be a 60. Mm-hmm. I'm say 69 a bunch.
Very specific.
Well, it's funny we're arguing about scores, because we don't ever disagree on movie ratings. Almost never. It's like always within like a 15% margin, 15-point margin. Except for one time, and that was Happy Death Day.
The original.
Last year or 2 years ago? Was it last year?
I think
year?
It was 2 years ago now.
2017.
It was last year. It was 2 years ago. We weren't even on the podcast.
2017. It was 2017 movie, I'm pretty sure.
Two calendar years.
Yeah.
We, Trill and I enjoyed it. Thought there were some issues for sure, but we enjoyed it for the most part. Ken Jack fucking hated it.
Gave it
a 14?
I think like a 16.
16 out of 100.
No real difference at that point.
It was probably the only time we've ever argued about a movie on the pod. And we are now reviewing the second one today. Happy Death Day to you. And we're also going to do worst sequels. Number two movies, though. It's got to be the second movie in the series.
Do you remember what you gave the first one?
I want to say Trill and I gave it around a 70.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we had fun with it. There were some issues, but we had fun with it. I'll tell you this. We might all agree on this one. And, Large, we'll preface it. We'll get back to Happy Death Day after you say this. But you only just saw the first one, right?
Yeah, I saw the first one on demand, and then I saw the second one the following week.
All right, so we'll get your thoughts on both. But we'll get to it's a movie. I also didn't realize there was a post-credit scene. I walked out of the theater. I saw it again today for the second time, and I didn't know they set something up. I had to go look it up.
I didn't realize that either. Did they add any points to your grade? Are you reconsidering the film now?
Yeah, it's now 100 out of 100. I thought the nuance of the post-credit scene was just impressive. Mm-hmm. Let's get quickly. Actually, what's going on? Trill, let's get a life update. What's anything big?
Yo, the baby started crawling.
Oh.
Yeah, baby went crawling. About 10-month mark. And then last night, she just got on her knees and... immediately went over to the drawer in her nursery and tried to pull it open. I'm like, she's starting to try to kill herself already. This is great. we have a very dangerous house currently, so we're going to have to look at not making it as dangerous. But, you know, I figure just leaving random knives out here and there might not be such a bad thing. You got to know what to avoid.
You have an easily collapsible drying rack behind you, I believe, too. You're going to have to fix that thing.
I do. It's not just my drying rack. It's my valet.
Ooh.
For my personal affects. Wow. I just throw my work stuff on it afterwards and just sit right back down in my fart chair for the podcast.
Anything else? We're not eating any gross pasta on this episode. Have you ever had Jollibee, Large?
No. I think I saw that today, though, right? Was it the pasta with hot dogs?
Hot dogs. Ken Jack thought terrible. It was carrots as he was eating it and realized
it. Convinced it was carrots. They were pure orange. They were not hot dog colored.
The chicken's good. I don't know if I'd...
Chicken sandwich was awesome. I don't know what the sauce was, but it was great.
Now, I've heard of it before. It's Filipino?
Yes.
Yeah, Filipino, right? Because it's also a burger chain. It has burgers and fries, doesn't it? The whole deal. So I've heard of it. I've never been to it.
Anthony Bourdain, big fan.
Really?
Okay. Was a big fan. Rest in peace.
Okay.
Ken Jack said, if given the choice of 11 Madison Park or Jollibee, he would pick Jollibee every day.
10 out of 10 times. Yes. I'm a scumbag. I would definitely do that. That was made that as in jest, but it was 100% true. Little update. I've been watching a show by Larry Charles, who is this writer for Seinfeld.
And Curb.
Larry Charles' Dangerous World of Comedy. It's like he goes to like all these different countries and stuff and like kind of figures out the way they do comedy. He goes to like Sierra Leone. He goes to Iraq, a bunch of other places. It's sick. It's crazy. It's so cool. And like, because he doesn't just interview like regular people. He interviews like this one warlord called Butt Naked, who's like this guy who would like get naked before he went to battle with his child soldiers and like eat people. And like, he's like, yeah, what do you think's funny? And he's like, oh, you know, Bill Cosby, children say the kids say the darnest things and shit like that. And like, he just, it's so interesting seeing what different people across the world find, like how they find humor and stuff. And if you
just so completely numb to everything that it goes right back around and you just find the most innocuous stuff funny.
Exactly.
You're so numb to the human condition at that point.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, I'd give it a try. There's my life update.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
That's good. Also, Large, you drank moonshine at 9 a.m. This morning.
So we've been on a tear with the booze. We've been doing booze every Friday, wine and cheese or beer and pretzels. And so we've been lucky enough that a lot of breweries or winemakers have been sending us stuff. So Barstool Breakfast, if you listen to it, we'll drink it. I mean, we're pumping it, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we love the free press, and we love the free booze, so it's a very symbiotic relationship.
Don't hate that.
And then some random guy, I like a lot of people here get cool gifts. Like, people open up, there's a, I don't know if this cool gift, but somebody had like a big vibrator on the
There is. There's one sitting on the fucking bar right now.
Yeah, the Call Her Daddy girl's got an advent calendar of sex toys, where it was 25 slots, which is so bad, you know, many different levels. Like, they wouldn't have got it for, you know, Purim. And but I get like homemade pickles. I just got homemade moonshine
today.
Well,
there's artificial pickles, to be
fair. Right. And so from the moonshine thing, and speaking about shows, because I just rewatched it. I don't know if you guys ever saw Justified. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember Justified?
Mm-hmm.
And so I never had the apple pie moonshine.
Oh, it's so good.
And this guy happened to make two mason jars for us. And I was saying one of the mason jars you could see the future through it. It's so clear, and then the other one was very, very cloudy, and it was the apple pie one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want this. There's a lot of, you know, particulate matter. And it was delicious.
It's so like good, right? It's dangerous.
It's like a digestif after the Jollibee or whatever.
Oh, you. Big time. That'll be a great post, Jollibee.
And then the other one is just a fire hazard.
2,000 proof.
Great. Cool. Let's do a quick update. Movie review schedule. This is a good group of 12 movies we got coming here. So this week, Happy Death Day to you. Next week, How to Train Your Dragon 3. That's not a hot start. I apologize. It's apparently a really good movie, though. After that, Captain Marvel. Big review for us. Triple Frontier, the Ben Affleck Netflix movie, the week after that. Mm-hmm. And then we got a two-parter the week after that of Us and the Beach Bum. That's a pretty big one.
I was hyped up for the Beach Bum.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Beach Bum.
I love it.
It's McConaughey vehicle? Folks,
yeah, Zac Efron.
Did you see the ad for the Ben Affleck one on 29th Street? Have you seen
that?
No. So they went on like the side of some nondescript Mexican restaurant that had a white wall that wasn't tagged up. So they put up an old school, you know, like poster billboard.
Yeah.
On like eye level. It's 8 feet high, and it's Ben and the rest of the group. I think they're like a team of ex-soldiers that go in and try to rob a warlord, if I remember. but you can only see parts of them, and everything else had like a sticker, a brick-sized sticker covering it up. So you would go over and you pulled it off, and everything had a small prize. So there was a huge crowd around it just ripping off, and you turn it in and you get like a whatever, a Netflix T-shirt or this or that or that. And so that was their promotion. And I was driving by, so I was going to stop for this Frontier movie, for the one where they steal from the warlord. Yeah. And that was their promotion on it. So the billboard itself, I don't know if you call it a billboard because it's on the side of a wall, but the wall ad itself is still up there. But all the bricks were gone. There was some press there and stuff like that. I didn't want to stop the car because it was a busy block. And so there you go. I've never seen that before.
That's interesting advertising.
Yeah, that's right. Cool.
There you go. Well, value added right away.
Give us free shit.
Yeah.
Send us free stuff, Triple Frontier.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, but we don't want to do the work. We don't want to peel anything off.
Yeah,
we
don't have time for that.
We just want the free stuff. Like, we're fine with that.
Send me an M4 SOP mod to my address, please.
Can I have a ghillie suit, please?
The week after that, we got Dumbo. Then Shazam. Excited for that. Excited for Shazam. The potential is there to either be hilariously bad or we love it.
Or we like it a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Zach Levi, come on the pod.
Yeah.
Million-dollar suit.
Yep. Yeah, Hellboy. Then The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah, La Llorona.
La Llorona or something. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Horror movies do really well with this pod, so that'll be interesting. Then the big one, Mr. Sunday Movies will be on for Avengers Endgame. I wish that was episode 150. It's not. Episode 150 will be Long Shot with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, and then the rounded out.
It was Avengers 149?
148.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, close.
Well, we could manipulate that a little bit. I mean, this isn't like a...
Just have two pop-up shows?
2 5-minute pods to drop in beforehand?
Yeah.
Just
just have me on, like, ranting about the PlayStation 4 DualShock controller longevity or just something really stupid like that.
I don't like using Mirage in Apex. I don't like his quips.
I just I don't like when all my dead skin gets in my controller and jams it up. Just like, why can't they prevent it?
And then Detective Pikachu, which we will get into in a minute. That rounds it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Detective Pikachu. I got to tell Trill what I asked Large before you get in here. Actually, that is a trailer we're going to talk about. New Detective Pikachu movie. Here's an interesting discussion. I asked Large. I said, Large, do you care about Detective Pikachu? And you said...
No, I do not. I have zero interest. I mean, my kids have done Pokemon Go. I don't know anything about it. I know some people are disappointed because they had revealed a Charizard or something like that. There was a very rare card or something at the end. So I get it.
Yeah, Mewtwo. Yeah.
Okay, something. Yeah. Yes, that's the one. And because it sounds a lot like me too. Like it's a fucking movement. Yeah. So I get it, but I don't want it.
And ordinarily I would agree with you, but this trailer looks kind of charming and delightful. Like, I think we were roasting the shit out of this movie when it was first announced, but this looks kind of good.
Oh, from concept to trailer, I don't think I've changed my opinion on a movie so much, though.
Right?
Because this did sound stupid as shit. It was like, who's going to play Pikachu, The Rock or... well, first of all, we just thought it would be who's going to be Pikachu's sidekick, Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, Paul Rudd, and then... Mm-hmm. It was like, oh no, they're playing Pikachu, and you're like, what?
Yep.
Why? But now it's like it's become kind of funny. I think there's potential here.
It's very tough to have Ryan Reynolds in something and for it not to be charming and not to be immediately like, oh, I kind of like this now.
The whole movie sounds like a pitch from a guy who like just forgot what he was going to pitch on the way to the studios. Like, and he ironed his suit in his car and some shit, and he's just running in like spilling 2 jugs of water he's carrying up. He's like, okay, get this. It's Pikachu, and he's Detective Pikachu, and he's like, yeah, you got us, like, and then from like that to like having a good trailer, it was kind of enjoyable.
I think it has a Bill Murray and Garfield type feel to it. Like, it might just be one of those things.
Big Garfield stands here.
Yeah, like are you? I mean, because
ironically,
yeah, a little bit ironically.
Okay, because
we just like John Arbuckle,
right? I can listen to Bill Murray read a phone book, and then to have him in that piece of shit. No offense, none taken. Like you wonder if they're going down the same road with just better effects.
Mm-hmm. They do. The effects look cool, but that's a fair comparison because we've seen the human to CGI interaction before, and it's just
sometimes
just
doesn't work.
But your kids are definitely too young for the Pokemon. Like I'm firmly Pokemon cards generation kid. Where Trill, you were just a little after or before it.
Yeah, it's definitely before your time, right?
I played the game, but I was the age where I played the game, but I didn't admit to anyone I played the game.
Okay,
but I didn't collect any of the cards or any of that dumb shit you kids did.
I don't know anyone who played the video game.
Yeah, the video games. Everyone played the video games.
I was too busy doing adult shit like. Well, I don't know.
playing Counter Final Strike. Fantasy.
Playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
They actually just missed the cards, too. I was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Kid.
Oh, God.
I just missed the cards, but I was purely in the video game sector of it, because those Game Boy games are so good.
Yeah, the Game Boy games had a lot of cards. A lot of cards. I'm excited, but that is a decent point. I mean, this could stink. Let's be honest. Like, a good trailer doesn't mean anything anymore these
days. You've learned this the hard way.
I'm listening to the Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Talk, and again, my view is from 30,000 feet. I went home yesterday and the kids were watching a movie called Pixels with Adam Sandler. And,
oh, no. I was,
that's perfectly on brand for this pod.
It's a very, very famous movie for this
I
pod.
Was so fucking happy that it was so relatable, and they had questions about, you know, Q-Bert and stuff, and I had them all at my fingertips like you guys would have for me if I was in the home and was asking you, hey, tell me about this Pokemon movie. I find Ryan to be very charming. So I was you yesterday. Explaining Pixels, and now I'm just fucking
Did you watch
lost.
The end of the movie?
Yeah, because I'd seen it before with them. They enjoy the movie. I think, and plus I love that midget. I mean, you know, like I could you know, I'd watch a stool he
Dinklage.
Produced.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage.
And then Josh Gad, is that the name
yeah,
of the
Yeah, he
gentleman?
Fucks the Q-Bert and has yeah. Q-Bert babies.
Yep. Right, but first he brings back that blonde who looks like Gronk's girlfriend, right? And she was like
yes.
the warrior
mm-hmm.
type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, was that really who played her?
Yeah, Ashley Benson.
How
yeah.
well played. So it had a little bit of everything for me. I'm not a huge Sandler guy. We were talking about the Netflix deal with the Cowboys thing, which was fucking horrible.
Ridiculous Six.
That was terrible.
With the diarrhea donkey.
Diarrhea donkey. Yeah.
Right. But I
Tyler Lautner is dying, like his death whisper.
I would go. I mean, with that one, I would consider that probably very watchable for me from a standpoint that I played all those games and like I almost wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the King of Queens is the president. There were some things wrong with that. Definitely some things. But I didn't mind it. It's a 75.
I did like how Dinklage's character was Billy Mitchell from the King of Kong documentary.
Yeah.
That was a good little riff.
And then
there.
He sleeps with Martha Stewart and Serena Williams at the end. Is that who it is?
Yeah, that's what he asked for. Yeah. And to never pay taxes again.
Yeah. That's, and that's probably the part your kids like the most, I'm right. sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the guy who invented Pac-Man got his arm bit off. Like, there's all those little things that make kids, you know, there was all those ones. And then the girl drinking wine in the bottom of her closet. I liked it. It wasn't too bad. And then the son, who Adam Sandler goes over to install the TV for, is the kid in Walking Dead. There's like
oh, I
kid.
Didn't know that.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. No, not Carl. The new Carl. The guy, the black dude with the dreadlocks. And the girl with the gray hair are his parents.
Oh, okay.
That
I'm
guy
not that
who
far
like,
in the
used
series
the
yet.
Staff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's.
I only watched Talking Dead.
Yeah, with yeah. Chris.
With Chris Hardwick. Right? They almost. Killed
I only like when they talk about it. I don't know, yeah.
They almost killed him off, right?
They. He.
Very, very close.
He's back, which mm-hmm. is.
Hello, welcome back to Talking Dead. We're talking about Walking Dead this time.
Yeah.
Moving on to another movie, X-Men: Dark Phoenix. Which I'm not even sure they're calling it that, but I want to preface it saying it's an X-Men movie. The trailer's dropping tonight. We're recording on Wednesday at like 11:30, so
they
tough shit.
The draw. They fucked up.
They had a chance. We'll still tweet it out, and I'm sure people will laugh at it. There are X-Men stands, though. Be careful. But they did release a poster. New poster for X-Men Dark Phoenix, yep. Sophie Turner. She's in the middle. She's the main character. I mean, I guess all the characters are supposed to look angry because it is dark. It's negative. This is going to probably be the last X-Men movie with this cast. They're going to reboot it once Disney officially has the rights in March. I mean, I don't think we need to see the trailer because I think we know what they're going to say in the trailer, right? It's going to be Eric and Charles. Charles, Eric, and they're just yelling at each other and then an explosive Dark Phoenix. Yeah. You're killing her.
I'm saving her.
Yeah, right? That's it.
Right.
Eric, you can use your powers for good, Eric. Come to my mansion school. Teach the children, Eric.
Kelsey Grammer.
Every X-Men on this poster, I would rather see them get their own movie before she did. And I'd have nothing against Game of Thrones girl. And maybe not Cyclops. I don't find him interesting. But if Nightcrawler had something, or Quicksilver, if anyone, and I don't know who this Ninja Turtle on the right lower right is. I've never seen it before.
You don't know who that is either.
Yeah, but I would like to.
I got no idea.
I'd like to see anybody but her get her standalone movie. I didn't like it when, was it Famke Janssen played her?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I didn't Famke like Janssen, that. Yep. I didn't like that when she, and they alluded to that at one of the movies, like she had like push the river aside after the end of Wolverine or something.
She also like just had powers in X3, and like Wolverine had to kill her because she was going into Dark Phoenix or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't like this storyline at all. So I'm not interested in this in the least.
Make sure when you're building a big tentpole franchise that you go back to the storyline of the shitty movie everyone hates.
Mm. Yes,
just make sure you do that. It's always a good move.
I like Jean Grey as a character, but they haven't developed her in any of the movies the way they need to do. Like, to her detriment, she's almost just been an object for Wolverine and Cyclops to fight over.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, like, it might be interesting to see her in her own standalone, but the problem is this dark cloud of the development hell that all these X-Men movies have been stuck in for the last 2 years is hanging over it. I just don't have any faith that this is going to be good.
Rip New Mutants wherever you are.
Oh, God,
and,
New Mutants.
Yeah, New Mutants, and I don't know. The trailer will probably be good. I think they'll nail the trailer, and then I think the movie will come out, and it'll just be like, meh.
Yeah, and it just unceremonious death to this. And I didn't hate Fassbender as Magneto. James McAvoy was okay, but I mean,
I liked them both.
The First Class and then Days of Future Past; those were awesome movies. But then they did
Fifth Avenue Magneto.
I just made a new poster for Dark Phoenix.
And then, to your point, Trill, what they did with Apocalypse is similar to what I feel like they're doing with Jean Grey, which they developed Jean Grey a little bit in the last one, but like Apocalypse, they just took the biggest character in X-Men, like the biggest, baddest villain, and just tossed him in. It's like what's related to this other thing that came out before we came on the pod is that the CEO of Warner Brothers said that their movies, the DCEU movies, will focus more on individual characters and less on a connected universe, which is good because they brought in characters and storylines that they didn't develop whatsoever. You know, you can't just, like, Marvel didn't just bring in Thanos. It took 20 movies to get Thanos developed. Where, you know, they almost brought in Darkseid, like, the biggest villain for DCU in, like, the third movie. So, I mean, hopefully Kevin Feige and Marvel fixes the X-Men stuff. Because there were two good movies, but you got to integrate them. You got to make it work. There's too many good characters to just throw it away with rushed storylines.
Why not give Mystique her own big feature movie?
Yeah,
she's been cool powers.
Nightcrawler. I would watch that. I love Germans or Russians rather. they're all the same, aren't they? Right?
Just the bad guys. That?
Are they Finnish? Maybe
the bad guys. But
either way, one of them. He's probably Irish. We all are. So I would much rather watch that than this piece of shit.
I think half this franchise is miscast. So look at Cyclops. Yeah. Evan Peters is good as Quicksilver.
Tyler Sheridan
is very good.
Cyclops, played by Ready Player One guy.
Yeah, who, Ready Player One man.
Yeah, who is, I don't think.
Basically, he looks like he works at the Oakley testing facility in 100%. His new movies with these glasses.
He works at PacSun.
Hello, welcome to Sunglass Hut at the Fort Lauderdale International Airport. I am Cyclops.
How can I help you, sir?
Do you have a lens cleaning kit? No, I don't need a fucking lens cleaning kit. How you guys make all your money? Just use a towel.
All right, we have an ad read quick here. Roman.
Never heard of it.
Now you know.
Give it to me.
Now you know. Roman is a one-stop shop for men's health with their own licensed physicians and certified pharmacies across the country, which means the whole process will be quick and painless for you. They take care of everything from online diagnosis to fast deliveries of your FDA-approved medication. Roman, erectile dysfunction, 52% of guys will experience erectile dysfunction at some point. A lot of guys just think they're built that way. That's not true.
It's not.
You do? True?
Oh, no. I definitely do not suffer from it. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Yeah.
100%. I just want to let everybody who's listening know that.
It can be the first sign of something a lot more serious, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart rate condition, all of that. But
Stop looking at me.
Yeah. But with Roman, I am kind of looking at you as I read this. Right, yeah,
pressure, baldness, flustered cheeks.
No waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no trip to the pharmacy. To get started, all you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/lights. With Roman, you get access to licensed physicians and brand-name medication like Viagra or generic equivalents for as little as $2 a dose without ever leaving your couch, which get up off your couch. I mean, I feel like
it'd be a good product if I needed it.
Or sit back down on your couch, depending on which sponsor we're doing.
Oh, yeah, very true. To waive Roman's usual online visit fee, visit GetRoman.com. patreon.com/lights or click the link in the description box below, which is where else you can also vote in the description box below for all of our movies and the Goscars. Our own awards are coming up on Sunday. That's getroman.com/lights for your free online visit. If you're experiencing erectile dysfunction, go online and get checked by the doctor. That's what you got to do.
I'm not.
Okay, good to know.
I don't, like, I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm very secure.
I appreciate it.
I just wanted everybody to know how secure I am.
We're not going to send you a Roman pack, then.
Yeah, we won't send you a free kit.
You don't.
I am not insecure.
Oh, there's free kits around?
I don't know. Maybe. You want free stuff?
Look under your desk.
They came and I took all three.
And you get a Viagra. And you get a Viagra. I'll tell you who looks good in this poster before you go on. Beast. Beast has that.
Nicholas Holt, baby.
Yeah, it's got like a Blue Walker type look to him. I like that. He looks sufficiently evil because Kelsey Grammer was... more of a Muppet.
Still one of my least favorite superheroes.
And I think he's actually my favorite superhero.
But see, the thing, people like it, but it looks like Frasier.
Yeah, it does.
It's just Frasier Crane. Yeah, just
Niles, this is your worst idea yet.
Yeah.
Charles is yelling at Eric, and he's just walking around the mansion.
I hear the beast calling. Smell it. Scrambled eggs.
That's a skit. If you want in on that skit.
Right.
Frasier, X-Men.
And then the new Storm, she's new. I haven't seen her.
She was in the last one. She was in you see Apocalypse?
Oh yeah, that piece of shit. And that's some too, cuz you were talking about Apocalypse versus Thanos and just the way that they handled the CGI on it. Like Josh Brolin's chin got a little bit too much, but all of Thanos. That was Oscar Isaac, right, or something.
Yeah, it's like they almost didn't want him to be like. It was weird the way they did Apocalypse.
Yeah, they made him out of like gym mats more than anything like that was that I feared, and it moved with him almost like a marshmallowy type thing. So they're not getting it right.
No,
which is embarrassing because I'm a comic book guy. I've read most of the X-Men from the beginning, so I'm a comic book guy growing up, and I appreciate it. So I'm a little disappointed with the way that this franchise has gone.
And then actually in the bottom, I'm glad you brought this back up. There is. Jessica Chastain's character.
Oh, so that's what she looked like. So I didn't even know that Jessica Chastain was in this. That's how uninterested I have been in Dark Phoenix. But I was like, wow, that looks like Molly's Game. Like they overlaid the poster over Molly's Game. And I love her. So she can do no wrong with. So that's more of a seller for me than anybody else on this fucking poster.
Yep, that's her at the bottom. So we'll see what the trailer's like.
Cool.
Don't worry, we'll talk about it off pod tomorrow because they're not releasing it till Fallon. You got to think Fallon's going to laugh at it. He's going to love it.
100%. He's going to drop his briefcase full of jelly beans or whatever it is he does.
He's a hoot. Here we go. But the news, I'll tell you what, gets significantly less interesting after those two. Puss in Boots 2 in the works.
Are you going to at least bleep it this time? Like you promised you were going to last time?
I'm sorry, I didn't bleep your joke last time. Trill, what was that?
Antonio Banderas, is he signed on?
Banderas?
I mean,
he's back.
I would assume. Does anyone care? Quickly around the room. Trill.
No, I don't. I do not care.
Ken Jack.
The thing about Puss in Boots is I didn't see it, so I don't care.
Large?
I will see it. I will see it because I have an 8-year-old girl.
That's
fair. And if one of the boys go with me, maybe the 11-year-old, it will have those little jokes, tongue-in-cheek jokes that Antonio Banderas does. He's like a modern-day Pepe Le Pew, so I will see it. Right? He's a feline.
That is what this the character is basically.
Yeah, he's like a feline Le Pew. And so I will probably see this, and I will let you know immediately what I think, whether or not I want to go see it. Wait, hold on. Executive producer is Guillermo del Toro? No.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then it's going to be an Oscar winner.
Yep, there it is.
That was 2012, so I have to find that out. I'll do a little more legwork. I apologize. That would be awesome. Yeah, it's a Grindhouse production. But, I'll probably see it. Did you not like Shrek?
Oh, I like
Shrek. Shrek a lot.
Okay.
Shrek 2 was fine,
I'll watch
too.
This. I bet it'll be delightful. This is one of those movies that I'd be happier if they weren't on my radar and just kind of came out. And I didn't have to hear about the development of Puss in Boots 2. Because it makes me mad because Antonio Banderas could be making a movie about the Nasonex bee. Yeah.
And he's the perfect voice for this, though. So I like Shrek. Now that I'm talking myself into it, I'll see Puss in Boots. I'm looking forward to it. I'm firmly in the Puss in Boots camp.
Shrek the 2. It won't be on my top 10 worst.
Two fingers.
That's a bleep. There's our first
bleep it for the guests.
There's our congrats on the first bleep of the episode. All right, next up, more in development sequels. Aquaman 2 coming out December 2022.
I'll be dead then, so it's hard.
It's irrelevant for me. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it's getting a sequel.
It's very far out.
Is this the trench one or is this Aquaman 2?
This is the Aquaman 2. This is not the fucking weird trench horror movie, which people are already theorizing is going to be a Cloverfield movie. I just love that when people don't understand a movie, they just call things Cloverfield movies.
Yeah, automatically it's a Paradox movie.
Yeah. I mean, good, right? It feels far away, though. Doesn't it? Like, yeah. I feel like sequels, they announce them and they come out like a year and a half later. I mean, we're actually talking about one today, Happy Death Day to You. Now, granted, I don't think there's a lot of complex CGI like there will be with Aquaman, but...
Mm-hmm. And this is December 16th, 2022. I mean, this is years away. To the point where I don't think... Like, some of these people are going to start to lose their looks by the time this comes back around.
That's true.
Momoa actually got a little doughy into the Oscars. Like, I could see him going down a large-esque type world, you know, fucking... toilet that I've gone, you know, where he starts
to look
lose
like
his
Wayne
hair.
Knight as Aquaman.
Right. December 2022 is a long way off.
That's what's kind of crazy about like the Marvel, like the Avengers characters. Like they've looked pretty consistent throughout, but I mean, that's a tall task. 23 for the most part. Like it's closer to 23 than it is the beginning of 2022, which by the way, here's my big thing. It will not be releasing against an Avatar movie. Which is kind of unfortunate. I was really hoping it was going to
crush it.
Just to see it go toe to toe with James Cameron would have been hilarious. But it's not because Avatar is supposed to be 2020, 2021, 2024, 2025. So, a little disappointed.
Okay, so then, all right. And then, how did you guys feel about the original Aquaman? I had a problem with something I'm going to air because I feel like talking about it. Black Manta. I thought the guy who played him was very good. I thought the villain himself was very...
They burnt him.
He was, yeah, undeserved of having such a big part in Aquaman. It was a guy with fancy guns.
Abdul-Mateen, who's playing Candyman. That's our next topic, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Good segue.
He's playing Candyman, Jordan Peele. I thought he did a good job, good actor. Mm-hmm.
Terrible character.
Disservice to him. He should have had a separate spot.
Great example, again, of rushing a character in who didn't need to be in yet. Like, just putting him in to put him in for the sake of having him in a movie.
Okay, yes. Yeah,
when you have another villain already.
Right. And, it was totally superfluous. I didn't care that his dad died when they were pirates and shit like that.
Why would you? He died in the first 30 seconds of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Technology pirates.
Yeah, somehow. I am the tech captain now.
Tech pirates. That was
wild. So that's him? Yahya Abdul-Mateen?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to play Candyman, which I don't know much about the movie Candyman.
Oh, that was a creepy movie.
Yeah, it came out when I was in college, and it was a scary one. The
bees and that's all real too.
Like the one thing I know. Jordan Peele's doing it.
Oh, so that's good. And the gentleman who played the original Candyman,
he just passed away. Reggie Cathy.
He was sufficiently creepy.
Yeah,
he did a very good job. So that's big.
Was it Tony Todd?
Big bee-filled boots to fill.
I don't know. Reggie Cathy did pass away.
I think it was Tony Todd.
Reggie Cathy was not featured in the Oscars in Memoriam.
Him not getting in the Oscars in Memoriam is fucked up.
Nor Vern Troyer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow.
Nor the SpongeBob guy, Hillenbrand. Oscars just kind of... Well, Trill talked about it on Sunday. It's like... the best example of the Oscars are not made for us. They're made for movie people because Vern Troyer's not in there. But
yeah.
What do you say? Like, random publicist guy?
Yeah. publicist number three.
Be like Joe Blanconator publicist.
It's a Spider-Man 3 thing. Remember when Spider-Man 3 had like 90 villains?
Yes. Yeah.
They just want to cram so much shit in. And I thought Black Manta was just...
But why? For merchandise?
I think doing two villains or multiple villains at one time gives you flexibility when it comes time to do a sequel.
It's true.
Because then you can pick the one that resonates the most. Or this one, it sets Black Manta up to be the first villain in the sequel now that Patrick Wilson's character's been thrown in sea jail.
CJ.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even Black Panther sort of had two villains, right? Because they had Ulysses Klaue and Killmonger. And they were two separate villains.
So I think it helps from like maybe a structural standpoint and also from setting stuff up from the future. But then at the same time, you run the risk of not giving Black Manta enough development, which I think is the main complaint. Is his motivation for Aquaman was that Aquaman killed his dad, which is fine, but it's kind of lazy, right?
And the thing with Black Panther too is that like Klaue was used as kind of a vessel for Killmonger, right? Like they were kind of together.
MacGuffin.
Yeah, there it is. where Manta kind of was never really with Patrick Wilson. He was very briefly, but it was
only,
almost like
only
separate.
Spoke by hologram, hologram, whatever, Seagram, because it was fucking water that turned into a hologram.
I enjoyed that movie, but yeah, Seagram.
He fucking pays him in like the fucking the sea gold, like the old treasure gold. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want your money. It's like, yeah, you've made it evidently clear you just don't want money, no matter how many times it's been offered to you.
Right.
You know, you're a tech pirate. You should want the money.
Yeah, you don't like the balloons. But I didn't realize that Candyman had two
Sequels? Really?
Yeah, they had Candyman Farewell to the Flesh and Candyman Day of the Dead, which went straight to video. So this is actually part four, but I don't know if it's going to work as if it was the second part about the hook-handed killer. And the original guy, Tony Todd, Eddie Murphy was originally pictured as being in the lead role, but Tony Todd got it and only had 10 minutes of screen time.
Hmm. It was a scary 10 minutes.
I wish I would have known this all on my own. I am reading it. And,
don't confuse Candyman with Lawnmower Man. That came out similar times.
I remember. Yeah, one was white, one was black. Lawnmower Man, I remember that was he had a couple of roles.
Patrick, it's like a weird VR movie.
Was Patrick was his last name maybe?
What the fuck is that?
Robert Patrick?
No.
Was he the T1? He wasn't the guy from Terminator, right?
Who's the main
Pierce Brosnan was in it. And Jeff Fahey.
Jeff Fahey. He was the guy who played
Dean
Lawnmower
Norris
Man.
Was in it, the guy from Breaking Bad.
Mm.
I'm sending you a screenshot from the original. This is like
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, the actual visuals from Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, this is something else. It looks like a 1992 video game.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like Atari Jaguar.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Woof. Good lord, how did Tron have better graphics than this in like the fucking 80s, whatever?
That is fucking
that's tough.
Brutal. Yeah.
Practical effects.
Lawnmower Man was bad. Saw it in the theater.
Pierce Brosnan looks good in it though.
Always.
Thick head of hair.
Yeah, always looks good.
One more piece of news here. This is actually pretty late into the game getting into our news block. Congrats on them getting it in here. But Rami Malek and Billy Magnussen in talks for major roles in Bond 25.
Billy Magnussen would be a good Bond.
He's a No. In the movie with Daniel Craig.
Oh, okay. Oh, Billy Magnussen's good in a spy movie. So.
He would be a CIA operative.
Okay.
Or director, and then it's been rumored.
Director, he's so young looking.
It's been rumored that Rami will be the villain. I think we've talked about this before.
he's just going to play Freddie Mercury in every movie from now on. Like he's just going to be James Bond fighting against a reincarnated Freddie.
I killed
Freddie
a man.
How old is Billy Magnussen? Guess.
I guess like 35.
He's 33. I would have thought younger.
He looks so young. He's in great shape.
Right.
He's a good-looking
dude. Very handsome man.
Somebody said that Billy Magnussen was in Bohemian to me not too long ago, actually.
That's just not true.
Played the drummer. Who's the drummer of Queen?
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore?
I made that up. I don't know what that's
Roger, this kind of sounds like a James
what?
Bond.
But, yeah, Roger Moore. Yeah.
Roger
Moore. There's like some Daltrey Taylor.
Just from Liverpool.
Not Daltrey.
He didn't
was
play Brian May. That's all we know. Yeah.
Roger Taylor, Brian May, and Freddie Mercury, I think, are the only ones I know. I don't know the drummer.
Speaking of movies, though, with music, they moved up the Beatles movie. It's coming out earlier in the year now. It's supposed to come out in the fall. It's coming out in June now.
The one where the Beatles never existed?
Yeah, I wonder if that's a reaction to the great press it had. They're like, let's get this out earlier.
They shouldn't rush it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's done. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see it.
I think the movie is probably based on such a tight story that they don't have to keep it in that post-production limbo for so long, right?
Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about it. I don't want to fucking talk about it. I don't feel like talking about it. Rotten Tomatoes is changing some of their stuff because Diaper Boys are fucking review-bombing movies, which is just, it's tough. I actually, for someone who shit-talks Rotten Tomatoes, that sucks. Like, there's nothing they can do. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
really. I mean, if you have a user ratings based thing, people are going to manipulate it.
Yep.
There's really no two ways about it. So it's a shame that people have to be that annoying. And then there was somebody who there was a DC fan who tried to get the tweet to go viral, like a big DC fan account that tried to edit Brie Larson's tweets to make them say like "Make America Great Again" and then be like, "Yes, Trump, build that wall and stuff," like trying to like get people to turn on Brie Larson and Captain Marvel. It's like, geez, just let the fucking movies come out. Like, just go watch your DC movies. You go watch your Marvel movies. Like,
and then there's just us watching both and enjoying them.
Yeah, or just watch both and be like, wow, I like movies.
And
yeah,
Suzanne
like
came out and said, I'm not part of this, he said, right? I don't have any smoke, even though they're... And that's what's confusing to me. That's how fucking old I am. Because I remember Shazam being Captain Marvel. That was the original name of the thing. So I had I needed a quick moment of clarity on that whole thing when Captain Marvel came into the... back into the forefront. But what, Zach Levy? Is that Levi?
Zach Levi.
Yeah. So he said, I don't want any smoke, and these, you know, people are absolutely wrong. I got zero problems with Brie Larson and shit like that.
I mean, he was in the MCU.
Yep.
Like, I don't.
And draw.
Just, yeah, it's just, again, just really, people are fucking stupid, man.
Zach Levi, send us a shortlist.
Just so, I'm so tired of it. So tired of everything being a fight.
That's a big reason why, like you mentioned all the time, why Twitter stinks sometimes.
It's just one conversation going on that everyone has an opinion on. Just fucking enjoy life. I find a good comeback is always just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You spell fuck F-U-K.
Yes, shut the fuck up.
That is really, because you know the person's done with you. Like, what are they going to say back to you?
What are they going to say? And you misspelled fuck. Like, so are they going to comment on that, or like where they take it? Disarms them. Like Krav Maga.
My favorite reply is when people go out of their way to tweet something at you that you have not been interacting, and they say, wow, you seem mad over this. It's like, sir, you were the one who took the time to tweet, so just please back the fuck down.
Also, like, we should just get over like stigmatizing being mad online, because that is the perpetual state of everyone right now. Like, everyone just needs to acknowledge that we're all mad online. That's just how we exist in 2019.
That original DeShare Zone response with just shut the fuck up and the guy saying this is targeted harassment is one of the funniest Twitter interactions of all time. I tried to sue him for telling him to shut the fuck up.
All right. Well, we have another ad read. Also, it just came out that actor Tony Todd gives his reboot.
Yeah,
gives Candyman
a blessing,
reboot.
Right?
It's blessing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God.
Studio was waiting for that one.
Yeah,
I bless you, my child.
Right.
Also, I did like that everyone was getting all pissy about the Ghostbusters thing, and Melissa McCarthy was just like, "Yeah, sure, good luck. Hope it's good." Yeah, that's why she's
supporting actress. Like, why
she's
you care?
She's really risen up my list. Big Melissa McCarthy fan now. Mm-hmm. Great movie. Can You Forgive Me? And
oh, so good.
My Mom Goes to College wasn't all that good, but
My Mom Goes to College.
But I like that reply. This episode brought to you in part by Thursday Boots. We've never done a Boots advertisement.
Not yet.
How about that? I'm just going to read their copy. I know they probably don't like me saying this, but it says, money, power, a great pair of boots. You can have it all. Want to know how? Stop. Is this a song? Stop what you are doing, go to the nearest computer, open your internet browser, and type in the following. ThursdayBoots.com. That's Thursday, the word Thursday, Boots, the word Boots.com. Pick out your favorite pair of beautiful handcrafted boots, add it to your cart, click checkout, fill out all your personal information, click purchase. It's that easy. Money, power, and a great pair of boots. Well, you worked in Wall Street. Are boots synonymous with money and power? You have to say yes, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's what we had learned right off the bat, right? I mean, so Warren Buffett had three rules to investing, and the first was never lose money, and the second one was never forget rule number one, and the third was always have powerful boots.
Very powerful boots.
Yeah. When Warren Buffett did very good, and he's the inventor of the all-you-can-eat Buffett. Mm-hmm. And so he's if that means anything, then it means something.
I don't know much about Wall Street, but what I do know is you always want to show up your first day as a junior associate with a Patek Philippe watch on and some nice boots or some Gucci loafers. Just peacock, and people will take you seriously at that point. That's what I know.
Yeah. You're reading it correctly, too. It's spot on.
And you make sure you Instagram, like, on my grind today, and your Instagram story first day.
And you said it was Thursday, as in Thursday the day, not any other.
Correct.
Okay. Can I buy them today, even though it's Wednesday?
Right. And boots, as in the traditional spelling of boots, not like an urban Z at the end or anything like that.
No.
Okay, cool.
Good. So you're helping us here. No boots with a Z.
Right.
This year, get a pair of boots that will last season after season. And they hold up in New York, which is impossible because you bring sneakers out in the winter in New York and they're ruined after 5 minutes.
Correct.
Get a pair of boots handcrafted with the highest quality materials and sold at honest prices. Get a pair of Thursday boots. Head on over to ThursdayBoots.com and use this code free ship two, number two, day.
You know what I like about their boots is you can eat a can of baked beans out of them like a 1950s Looney Tunes.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Good old time hobo.
Yeah, it's right here in the copy. Eat your beans out of our boots.
I just know from a marketing standpoint, they had a room full of people, and the guy was like, Wednesday boots. And they were like, I don't know. The other dude's like, it's Friday boots, right, guys? And we were all in agreement there. It's just not coming. So there were seven guys in the room. And when they got to the last guy, He said Thursday boots, and it hit. Yeah, right? And then you know when it works.
Just fits. So when it works, it works.
There it was, Thursday
the
boots.
The guy who suggested Monday boots got fired on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody liked Monday.
Guys, like, I'm taking a different direction. Monday boots.
This episode, again, brought to you in part by our friends at Thursday Boot Company, handcrafted with the highest quality materials and sold at honest prices starting at just $149, including free shipping and returns. Money, yep. Power. There it is again. Money, power, and great pair of boots are one. This is my favorite copy you've ever read. Money, power, and a great pair of boots are only one click away. Just head on over to ThursdayBoots.com and pick yourself up a pair.
They're nice boots. They're gorgeous.
They are good boots.
I'm looking at them now.
They're very nice.
Yeah. Picture, if you will, every single time I have sex, I leave the boots on. That's I'm wearing absolutely nothing except the boots.
Give me a second.
They stay on.
Stop. You're ruining it.
I'm on the edge of bed. They're on the bed. Right. Boots are on. You hear me like I stamp my feet. You can hear the clack. It's a fun time.
The Duke is one that I would wear tomorrow. Cavalier. There's a lot of boots in here that I like. So we can bust chops. Go.
Make sure you come
in
some boots.
I'm like, yeah. What are the best boots for me to tuck my linen pants into? That's really what I look forward to.
It's a caramel wingtip is the answer, just so you know. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if you were asking me.
That is a beautiful pair of boots.
It is. Yeah, the caramel wingtips are right there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's gorgeous.
All right, let's talk about Happy Death Day to you. You know, I'm calling it Happy Death Day 2 from here on out. I don't like the to you. I get it. It's a play on words or something.
Mm. Hey, how about this one? Happy Death Day, Polly.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. I like that a lot better.
That's good. All right, we rate everything 0 to 100 here, Lars, so we'll let you go last on that. I'm going to start off quick with no spoilers in the first part because there's enough spoilers in this movie that we'll do a whole spoiler section. Happy Death Day 2. I'm giving it a 60 out of 100. I know it was competently enough made, but comparing it to other things from this year, I couldn't go any lower. I just couldn't do it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen by any stretch of the imagination. There are some parts that work, but it's right around that spot for me. It's right around the Tomb Raider spot for me from what I saw last year to compare to something last year. I might see myself lowering it over time, but that's where it sits with me. I still don't love it by any stretch of the imagination. It's definitely below average, where I thought the other one was for sure above average and close to being a good movie. I think it was very close to the last one, towed the line on good. But this one, it tried to play the hits. I respect that it changed it up a little bit and went a kind of crazy direction. I don't want to give away too much, but there was a lot of it that just didn't work all that well, and I thought it focused on too many people and things that were unnecessary. To put it without, again, spoiling the craziness of what this movie is. So we'll get into it in spoilers, but right now it's standing at a 60 out of 100 for me. And I don't ever see myself raising it. It'll definitely be lowered, if anything. Probably in the 50 to 60 range. But I wouldn't put it below a 50. And there are some people who like this movie more than the first. There are people who have reviewed this movie who like it more than the first movie. But that's where I have it at right now. Trill, what about you?
Give it a 55. So not too far off from you, Jeff. I wasn't as good as the first. I thought, like you said, there are too many characters. Jessica Roth is very, very strong in this. I think she has a very great screen presence and the same as the first one. Like, I really liked her character. But aside from that, characters like Carter and Ryan, especially Ryan, who you see a lot of in this movie, they don't do it for me as much. And then this one had more of a sci-fi tilt to it, which was a little weird and off-putting because the first one didn't go to great lengths to explain much. And I kind of like that.
And it's – what's Ryan's actor's name? Is it Faux Van?
I think it's Fivu.
Fivan.
Fivu.
Fivu.
Anyway, Fivu, yeah. Too much of him. Far too much of that annoying character from the first one. That's for sure. Also, isn't the boyfriend a douchebag in real life too?
Oh, he's a huge douchebag. Big
huge,
time.
Big piece of shit.
Big time canceled guy.
Yeah, that's
he's
good.
He's been Twitter canceled in like a huge degree.
Okay, so 55 out of 100. Ken Jack – actually, I'm letting you go last because I saw you shaking your head during that entire thing.
I mean, a 60 is just a...
Okay. 55 from Trill, 60 from me, large out of 100.
I went 62 with the first movie.
Oh, okay.
62 with the first movie. I went 50 with the second movie.
Okay.
So I went straight down the middle. I liked not knowing... I liked suspending my belief in the first movie and not having a fucking clue what was going on. I liked the fact that it was a slasher film. With a slasher, like the slasher was gone in this one. He was stuck in the hospital. Oh, Okay. The slasher wasn't as big. I like the fact that the first one was Scream plus Groundhog Day. I didn't like the fact that this was Quantum Leap plus Groundhog Day, right? Like I didn't appreciate the sci-fi part of it, and I'm a sci-fi guy. To your point, the only character that I really liked was the blonde, Tree.
Yeah.
Even though her name annoyed me.
Oh, it's so bad. Ken Jack rolling over in his grave already about Tree.
The saccharine thing with her mom. That whole that stuff, the weepy stuff on the porch at the country club, multiple times. You know, there was my kid liked the second one. My 14-year-old kid liked the second one better than the first. I think solely on the fact that she jumped out of a plane in her underwear. You know, because he's a 14-year-old boy, and mm-hmm. that's what he should like. But he just likes what's, you know, it's string in front of a cat. So I think I'm comfortable with those scores.
Yeah, that's I think that's a good point about the mom too. I do want to get into that. I won't say much now, but I want to get into that part. That might even be a spoiler, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's February.
It added another $5 million this weekend for a North American total of $21.6 million on a reported $9 million budget.
That's Blumhouse.
So it says you can start discussing a trilogy after it tops $35 million globally, and it currently has a global take of $42 million. So the trilogy will be complete.
Speaking of Trill, Trill is the expert on Blumhouse budget to box office.
They're the kings.
They're the kings at it. They just make money and get an Oscar nom.
They don't go for the huge box office numbers, but they go for that box office to budget efficiency. Mm-hmm. They're very efficient at the sub $10 million movies making, you know, 30 plus.
There's their skill.
Allegedly.
All right, let's get this over with. Let's hear it. I know you want to do it.
I can't score it. Didn't finish. DNF.
DNF.
I quit out in the last 20 minutes.
What?
I quit out. 20 minutes left. I just couldn't finish it. After her death sequences or whatever it was, like when she went through the whole sequences of like, oh, I'm dying all these different creative ways, I DNF'd. That was it for me. Couldn't do any more.
That's close to a zero, though.
I can't put a score on it because I didn't technically finish it. I mean, it's like that's the thing, right? I couldn't get through it.
Holy shit.
I could not finish that movie. It was just, as much as I hated the first one, this one was that much worse.
That's only, I think, the second DNF in our history.
I'm glad I was here for that.
Trill
had one.
Maze Runner.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so
that was tough. I've seen those too. I mean,
I walked out of that shit. Yeah, I'm like,
we sat for a lot of that.
Wasn't Joey Lawrence the lead in that?
Yes, he was.
Don't tell me any different. It was fucking terrible. But I'm impressed. I'm glad that I was here.
We turned Ken Jack and I in Maze Runner, and actually, I didn't give it a drag. It's nowhere near the worst movie I saw last year, but we looked at each other at one point, and I'm like,
this is still going. There's so much setup left.
Like, dude, I kind of want to leave. Like,
that was right when Avengers was still hot, right? I think like it just came down, and we're like, we kind of just want to watch
Littlefinger was in it.
Which, by the way,
Clerks.
Avengers are projecting $282 million box office opening, which would beat the Infinity War, which set the worldwide record at $252.
Yep. Did you not like any character? Did you not find the girl to be somewhat charming?
Not really, because it was so overacted. And I know, I guess that's kind of like, it's on purpose. Like, it's satirical and it's self-aware. But, like, she overacts so much that I find it, like, it reverses. Like, now I don't like it. And that's something where I will never enjoy this level of horror comedy. Like, that. There's almost no line where I find that good. And it's just a personal preference. And I don't think that makes for a good movie. So I understand where you guys score it. But just for me, this is like my nightmare situation of a movie. You have terrible actors, terrible actresses, terrible concept, because this movie tries to, like you guys said, explain the lore of it by introducing time travel and like fixing all this fucking canon shit. And like that to me, like you guys said, the mystique of it was one of the few things that made the first one like relatively charming, right? And then you take that away by turning into a science project, like fuck you. This sucks. Like that was terrible.
Did you dig Anna Faris in like the Scary Movie franchise?
I was never a huge Scary Movie guy, no.
Well, let's talk spoilers. Audience gave it a 58 out of 100. If you don't want to have Happy Death Day 2 / Happy Death Day 2 you spoiled, skip ahead right here.
To avoid spoilers for Happy Death Day 2, Happy Death Day to you, skip to 1:10:28. Also, watching Guy's Grocery Games, and they have Jonathan Waxman on as a judge. He is one of Bobby Flay's mentors, one of the greatest chefs of all time. And he tried to just pretend that he was okay with somebody's taco that tasted like a shitty pizza. And I give him so much credit because, you know, in his head, he was just saying, fuck off. This food stinks. Anyway, it's a bad episode.
All right, spoilers for Happy Death Day 2. Let's get to the part that you mentioned, what this is like. You said it's like Quantum Leap meets, which I love. That's a great way to describe it. Quantum Leap meets Groundhog Day. This really wasn't nearly as much of a horror movie as the first one was.
Scream,
which the first one was kind of a comedy. It was a comedy horror.
Absolutely.
This one did not have the slasher element. And it really makes me want... Everyone just left. just me and Large right now.
Okay with it.
This one is tough because I like Jessica Roth enough to give it the score I did. And again, this might be a thing that I lower over time, but I thought she was charming enough to carry this movie in a way that I did enjoy some parts of it. But the storyline being mostly revolving around a quantum machine it just didn't have the draw that the first one did. You're right, because there was a mystery to what was happening with the murder. There's a mystery to figure out who it was. It was a whodunit.
If they'd want you to suspend your belief or to suspend all rationality in the first one about the repetitive day, don't try to explain it away with something that you're just going to have to just suspend your belief in again, like some sort of quantum portal. I thought that if they would have made the same exact movie over, you know, like a very repetitive movie, you know, doing the same thing and had like some sort of trick ending, kind of like Clue, it would have been just as successful for me. I wouldn't have minded a repeat like that. The fact that they went into this sci-fi direction, and I'm not as mad as Kenjack is. I'm not turned off by it. As
I'm not
much
mad,
as you
just
are.
Like
no, no,
so,
I'm turned off. But
yeah, I guess turned off is a better word.
Right,
you were mad last time.
I'm so mad.
You're off now.
You were mad when we spoke about the first one.
Yes. Like, that one made me like physically angry. This one, I'm just like, I'm so it's so distasteful to me. I'm just like, ugh.
It wasn't a bad experience to me the first one as much, and then this one it just got silly. It's one I'll never watch again.
Oh, for sure.
Right. It could have used a little bit of nudity, like if you have frat girls around, wouldn't you thought that would get you 2 or 3 points? It would have got 2 or 3 points from me.
Well, I mean, one would argue that if you're going back to like an ode to the classic slasher genre, that inclusion would bring it closer there. But also, this was what? Was this PG-13?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Yeah. So they create these movies specifically so that 14-year-old audience can be dropped off by their parents.
I've been to PG-13s that were worse. Haven't you seen a PG-13 movie that showed, I'm not saying full tit or anything like that, but I'm saying there has been ones that dance that line a little bit better than this one did. I don't know, but they're in a goddamn sorority house. Like, shouldn't there have been girls in teddies running around? Like, shouldn't her nurse roommate who made her the cupcake full of poison or because we can talk about this shit, right?
yeah, we can spoil the whole thing.
Shouldn't have she been in like a two-piece teddy or something? I honest to God, I'm not being overly rude, no, but they should have given us something that would stick with me, like a Scott Baio movie called Zapped when he did that thing.
Yes.
And this was back in the fucking 80s, and I remember like it was yesterday. I had a sock named after that scene. Like, if they would have gave me something like that, I would have elevated it a little bit. So, and I don't mean to get too deep in the weeds with this, but apparently I feel
we're big nudity talkers in this
okay, yes, yeah. Good.
The thing is though, like to your point though, it was a raunchier movie the first one. I thought. I mean, you didn't see anything. She was just naked in a scene in the first one, mm-hmm. and the farthest they got here was that she jumped out of a plane in a bikini, which was. That was just, I mean, I don't know why. And that's actually, that's kind of what they were doing. You're right.
Yeah, for the trailer.
Yeah, it was one for the trailer.
All those death scenes were for the trailer.
But also, to your point, also to kind of get the horny 14-year-olds to like it too. Like, there was no reason for her to be in a bikini.
I just can't
believe the look of it.
That people that I would never want to have dinner with haven't complained about how it trivializes suicide either. I mean, she's drinking bleach and throwing stuff, and I know it's the basis of this, but I can't help. I have a problem with something in one of the other movies that we'll talk about later, but again, it doesn't have my feathers. I'm not clutching my pearls to it, but the fact that they trivialize suicide in this day and age with that shit, where my kids get more fucking literature on don't do it all the time, that this thing was sort of like, here's a couple ways to kind of do it.
Drink Drano.
I've seen zero backlash, and you see a lot of backlash about a lot less. You know, just my perspective.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, there's enough with this from the first one that I was engaged. Like, I didn't even think about DNFing at any point. There was, I thought the beginning of the movie was the worst part. Actually, I just didn't give a fuck
so
about
much
that kid.
Of that guy, Ryan,
I didn't care
whatever.
About that Ryan
oh,
kid whatsoever. His
I didn't care about any of them. I cared about him the least.
Cliched nerdy friends. Yeah. I thought that also the her sorority sister Danielle went from being someone who makes fun of mentally challenged people and deaf people to making fun of blind people and
to making
f- just being a
Indian,
racist,
calling Indian guy
just,
Samoa. Like,
yeah,
all right, that's
it
cool
was,
now, I guess.
Her character sucks. I mean, so that didn't help. But I, Trill, I said this while you were taking a piss. I imagine Jessica Roth. You mentioned.
Whoa, let's not accuse anyone of anything here.
A poop?
Do you wash your hands?
Did oh, Roman just deliver?
I don't need that.
You're Jessica Roth's name, and you had to go to the bathroom real quick. That's weird how that timed up.
You,
I had to take a sitting down pee. Sorry.
You mentioned Jessica Roth, though. I thought she was good enough where that's what had me enjoying the movie in a few parts. So at least keep it up beyond something that I would have at the end of my year shit list.
I just enjoyed the vibe of this movie, and part of that was Jessica Roth. It takes itself more seriously in this one, but it never takes itself too seriously. I just the big takeaway for me is I just hate – they didn't explain it in Groundhog Day. You knew he was in a loop for some reason, and they got out of the loop when he made things right, but we never saw a mystical wizard pulling the strings behind the curtain. It just kind of happened. And it could have been like this for like, we didn't have to know. And then we get this quantum machine that is fucking just a reactor, or whatever, that is behind some of this stuff. And it's just like too much. That's what takes it out of it for me.
And
you're gonna make a loop,
it was the same exact movie as the first, except worse. Like, literally, like it was almost the exact same, except worse, because they try to explain everything.
I agree with that.
I liked some of the twists, and I liked that they were in multiverse, and I wish they would have gone to different multiverses.
I like how they had to do the pen through the piece of paper to show that there's multiverses, like they do in every single movie that ever involves a multiverse.
Yeah, and, like, I the mom being alive in that one verse, I actually liked that. That was a cool twist, but then it was just, it was played up too much.
There was more, I mean, there was, that was so... sappy. Like,
it was
So outside of, and the point I was going to make before was like Groundhog Day, I think everyone agrees was a good movie. If there was a Groundhog Day 2 and there was a quantum reactor underneath Punxsutawney, we'd all be like, oh, fuck, this stinks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
exactly
what they did. They put a quantum reactor underneath fucking Punxsutawney. But yeah, so the mom, like, I was hoping that she'd choose to go someplace where the mom was dead again because I was sick of the mom. Mom, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse. Mom could have been hotter. And so that whole part was lost on me.
It just wasn't.
I get it. You love your mom. You have to choose between her and a boyfriend. Got it.
But, like, you don't need that. She's already concerned about her life. Dying, her people she knows being stabbed and killed, and like I get it, it's a plot device, but there is just too many different storylines, and that's what hurt it for me, because I think there was potential there for it to be interesting, the multiverse thing, and maybe it's because I'm just thinking of Spider-Verse now, but the multiverse thing, her going into different timelines, and that's what I thought they were doing, and that's where the movie turned for me when she's like, oh, I'm in a, but she's like, when I'm in a different timeline. Like, oh, she's going to be in different timelines throughout, but then it just wasn't. She was just in that one same timeline where her mom's alive and the shitty kid is dating her sorority sister now, and it's like, ah, oh, it's like,
she stays in that one, finds out her dad's a pay pig.
Yeah.
In this universe, your dad gets caught for paying for premium Snapchats.
I don't remember the dad looking like that, by the way.
He was an ugly fucker. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. That guy, I did not remember that.
Remember
one
the
bit.
Nets coach Lawrence Frank? That really, like, that's who he looked like. I didn't remember him being this, like, he looked like he was 35. He looked 4 years older.
Yeah, he looked less than 10 years older than his daughter.
I thought that was weird. I don't know. This just didn't, it didn't kill me to a point where I was like, I gotta turn this off. I gotta get out of here. But it definitely was a step down for me from the first one. And I think that, again, there was a lot
of a very slight step down, because you went from what, like a 70-something to a
75, 79, yeah. But, again, maybe I'll lower it. And I'm like, in my head, I probably should. But I'm just – it's tough to rate movies early in the year, because I'm trying to be relative to things that I've seen this year, too, and movie trends, whatever. But I also liked some of the concepts. I just think it was poorly executed. Again, this is the theme of the pod. Too many characters. Too many fucking characters. Focus on the characters that people want to see. Don't And like, even if they would have let that Ryan kid in this movie, don't add new nerds. Don't add new weirdos to the movie. Then that professor, whoever, the guy who kept trying to shut down the quantum machine, could have done with much less of that guy.
That's apparently the Duplass brothers' like best friends.
Really?
And Duplass are big Blumhouse guys.
They should have given him some advice.
What was that movie, Burn After Reading? Mark Duplass made, where it kind of is a time. Wasn't that a time travel movie?
Burn After Reading was.
I
don't know what you think.
No, Burn After Reading is a Coen Brothers movie with John Malkovich.
So hold on.
Oh, fuck. It's with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Shit. Do you know what we're talking about?
I don't.
I'm drawing a total blank.
Hang on. You should know it, Kendrick. Safety Not Guaranteed.
Safety Not Guaranteed.
I don't know it.
Yeah, okay.
Jake Johnson's in it as well. Yeah. Yeah. I like that one. That was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a time travel thing, right? Like,
he was going to be able to travel in time. Colin Trevorrow did that movie. That's right. That's right.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was Burn After Reading, because he made that ad and I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, that was no time travel in that Coen Brothers movie.
That was a funny one.
I think, though, like the movies we just reviewed, I did think I enjoyed this about the same as Alita, honestly.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Oh my God!
I know. I'm just telling you how I feel, man. This is the trust tree.
I mean, that movie had a lot of issues, but I did enjoy it definitely more than this one.
Yeah, I mean, by a very significant margin.
I think I'm dropping.
No, but you walked out of the movie, so I get that.
I think I'm dropping this down to a 55. The more I talk about it, the more I talk about
it
out loud.
Write down what I put. Do you keep
50?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Good, because I'm sticking with it. I thought Alita was much better. Yeah, I'd recommend it. And maybe from a side, I wanted to see Alita. I told you when I saw the first preview, and then you said it's not testing well.
Seven, 8 years ago.
Yeah, and you said it's not testing well, and I said, oh, geez, that's a shame. And I went in, I wasn't disappointed.
Like, good to look at.
The only thing I didn't
screen.
Like was that boyfriend. If the boyfriend was out of that movie, it'd be like 5-6 points higher. Yeah. And it's not necessarily his fault.
It was Joey Lawrence again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
God, so much.
Like if Richard Grieco had a kid.
Richard Grieco. That's like our 8th reference to Richard Grieco recently.
Oh, really?
It was essentially a red shirt of the Alita universe, where his only purpose was to die to advance the story.
Exactly. MacGuffin, some might say.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
We're overusing this word.
Love that word. We're beating MacGuffin into the ground. All right, so final scores. I'm going 55, Trillas as well. DNF from Kenjek, didn't finish it. Large, he gave it a 50. Audience gave it a 58 out of 100. Happy Death Day to you. And again, they could not acquire the rights to the 50 Cent song from the trailer.
So weird. So bizarre.
Do you know that?
No.
The trailer for the original Happy Death Day, there was a 50 Cent song. It was... what was the song again?
In the club.
It was in the club.
It's your birthday.
That was the song that played on her phone to wake her up. And then in the movie, it's just that song, It's Your Birthday.
Oh. It's your birthday. Dun, 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 it's your birthday. Well, I don't know.
I feel like I was
there. That's how it went, Kenjack.
It's just terrible. That song is horrifying. It might raise the movie 10 points if they get rid of that fucking song. It'll be in the third one too, by the way. Which there is a third one because there is a...
mid-credit scene.
There is a credit scene where Danielle, her
so upset.
Sorority sister, they're trying to get her to go through the portal or whatever.
So DARPA picks up the
finds
the machine, and these guys are doing some sort of community service once they get back to their own universe or whatever. And DARPA has the machine, but wants to learn how to use it. They want a test subject, and I think Tree says, "I have just the girl," and it's the sorority girl.
The shitty human being.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just an all-around bad person.
Which, when you have a shitty sorority girl now kind of jumping between stuff, it's kind of a movie that I want to see.
It seems like it's
listening to Uncle Large on Lights, Camera, Barstool.
Yeah,
so
we have to get Buddy Pounds in for that one.
That might be the one that you go PG-13 to R, right? And then we go see together, but we don't sit near each other.
Yeah.
It's an invite.
When I was allegedly taking a piss, did you talk about the big plot twist of this movie at all? The doctor and his wife.
Didn't even talk about that. No, go ahead.
Well, didn't he try to kill her to cover up his affair, and then his wife ended up being the other killer?
Yeah,
like, in cahoots with him anyway.
And he shot his wife.
And he shot his wife. Yeah. Okay. The slasher part of it was such a small part. It was a slasher film with no slasher. He was literally in it for less than the guy from Candyman, right? He was just that handsome guy. It was a little bit telegraphed. The only thing that I thought is that she was the baby killer, the baby face killer, because she's existing on two universes at one time or something like that. Like, I thought she was going to remove the hood and it would be her. Like, that's what I thought the big reveal would be. And I was disappointed when it was just the doctor who was banging her roommate.
Her friend. Right? Who she was hooking up with in the first. Yeah.
And it was banging.
Well, both of them, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on what universe you're in. Yeah.
Doctor's a real asshole.
He's a piece of shit guy. No matter what you. Yeah, he's the one consistency throughout all universes. Yeah. He fucking
sucks.
And he's
a killer.
Yeah.
One universe.
Yeah.
Real asshole.
Again, there was potential there, I think. And maybe that's the third one. They go into different universes. That's what I was hoping for.
Oh, boy.
But.
Tree.
What's worse than a DNF? What are you going to do, I mean, with the third one?
The third one? Just not watch? Just like you guys did with Butu and Madea Halloween?
I take that back. I think I actually like the Lita more, because now that I'm thinking about that twist, it just pisses me off.
See, you guys guys came into this trying to like it more.
This is one we just saw, and I think we haven't had a chance to really talk it out, and that's where you can develop. I don't like really rating things unless I talk to somebody about it, because I just feel like I'm bouncing thoughts off. Like,
are we rating Alita today?
Oh, no. Okay. You can if you want to get a rating. No, I'm just saying, with Happy Death Day to You, like, I haven't had enough time to talk about it with someone, and I don't like rating things where I'm just bouncing ideas off myself, because I don't think I'm getting other thoughts and views on the movie that I might not have seen, because we're dumb. We're all dumb people.
Yeah. We're not critics. We rate movies, but, like, we change our minds during the reviews all the time.
Okay.
We're simple boys.
Simple.
Very simple. Very dumb.
All right, live ad read.
Okay, here I go. Imagine, if you will, a world where multiple realities exist. Empires rise and fall. People die and wake up in weird time loops. These time loops are where sorority sisters become increasingly levels of racist for some reason.
That's not whatever.
More. What?
Keep going. Just keep going.
No, okay. I'll have to restart because you threw me off. Imagine, if you will, a world where multiple realities exist. Empires rise and fall. People die and wake up in weird time loops where sorority sisters become increasingly levels of racist for some reason. Dude, you are a fucking shitty writer.
Look, there it is. Look, read it right now, the way it is written.
Imagine, if you will, a world where multiple realities exist. Empires rise and fall. People die and wake up in weird time loops where sorority sisters become increasing levels of racist for some reason.
You're just
it rolls out the tongue.
Still not reading what I wrote. Just keep going. It's not updating from whatever. Just keep going.
Wait, give me the updated version.
No, just keep going.
Ad reads are always this good on this pod. Don't worry. Yeah.
Imagine, if you will.
Oh, my God. Don't start from there. Start from where you picked up.
This is absolutely like Happy Death Day.
Start from where you picked up.
Really, this is literally Happy Death Day.
So
this is Happy Birthday.
It fits.
Fucking go.
Keep going.
Okay. People die and wake up in a weird time loops where sorority sisters become increasing ASAD.
Oh, my God.
AFSN. J. I'm reading what you wrote.
Just keep going.
AFSNJSDNKSDF. You want me to read exactly?
Keep going. That's all I'm saying.
But more importantly, imagine a reality where couches don't exist. That right? In one
that's
time.
Not, that's not what I wrote. That is just not what I wrote. It is that's right. The THAT.
What is happening?
That is not.
It's so hard to read.
It's not hard to read at all. It was two words. That's right. You said that right. It's not difficult to read. You are reading it incorrectly. All right. Just keep going.
We're
going
to
keep going.
We're going to second away from Audible and just reading the ad. Oh, my God.
That right. In one timeline, 1999, first overall pick Tim Couch never becomes the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Instead, they draft Donovan McNabb. This change in the timeline changes all consecutive picks after two. What you wrote. You didn't say after that. But I digress. Instead of drafting Couch, Kevin Johnson, Raheem Abdullah, Daylon McCutcheon, you get the point. The Browns end up with McNabb, Edgerrin James, Champ Bailey, Pat Kearney, Joey Porter, and Donald Driver. By the time 2019 comes around, the Browns are 9-time Super Bowl champs. LeBron never left in the first place, and popular free agents signed with the Cavs due to the winning culture in Cleveland, leading them to winning 10 straight rings as well. The Indians, however, relocate to Montreal for some reason. The city, however, continues to prosper after the space for progressive
The space for progressive field.
after the space for progressive field, like what the space for progressive field is sold to Facebook for their headquarters, leading to the rock and roll capital of the world becoming the new Silicon Valley. Luckily, we live in a world where couches exist. Couches like the Burrow couch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Look at that segue.
All of that.
All of that troll not knowing how to read just to get to this point.
Dude, yeah. you
said that. I will literally pull this right now.
He's not going to show up for the pod, so he's boycotting the pod, so he's like, fuck this.
Yo, people die and wake up in weird time loops.
Oh my God, Troll, just go read the actual ad now.
This is the actual ad.
No, look where it says next page. You're not. You do not know how to read. Look,
it doesn't have my name next to it.
Look,
next page is.
Like, how
this episode is brought
God.
To you in part by Burrow Couches.
Thank you
Burrow
for saving
is rethinking
this.
How people shop for and live with their furniture. Burrow, which will no longer advertise on this podcast by making high-quality sofas that are customized online, shipped for free in 1 week, and set up in minutes.
That right.
scratch and stain resistant so you can live your life worry-free. Built-in USB charger so you never have to get up. A sofa that grows with you. Burrows are easy to set up and disassemble. We did a lot of electric chairs with the Burrow couch. Burrow couch in front of us for the Oscars one. Ken Jack sat on that for the Patriots Chargers one.
Only charger that worked.
Exactly 17 inches off the ground because that's the average height from the bottom of a person's foot to the back of their knee. That's not for you, Large. You're a very tall person. Hey.
Hey.
Customize every detail. Compliment your sofa with four unique pillow collections. Mid-century, bohemian. Don't buy the bohemian. Buy two industrials instead. Rustic. Lots of different looks. Burrow was recently named one of the best inventions of 2018 by Time Magazine, and you can get $75 off your award-winning Burrow sofa by visiting burrow.com/lights. That's Burrow, burrow.com/lights. I can't read now. To get $75 off your order. Thanks again, Burrow, for supporting the show and for putting up with whatever the fuck just happened.
They're originally called Thursday couches.
Yes.
It wasn't testing well.
No, it was not. Yep.
They said it's more bootish.
Food you can fuck.
Couches made of boot leather right where the seams are right where you lay, so it's just extra uncomfortable.
Right. 17 inches from the floor.
Yeah. Right.
From the ground. Old junior high standby.
Worst sequels. Worst second movies. So you can't pick thirds. You can't pick like Scary Movie 5.
That right.
That right, folks.
That right.
That's a. We need a shirt like the pizza shirt that Dave and Frankie sell. The All Right Frankie, just in that script. This is that right. Yeah. It's a new brand.
Balloon Jerry. That right.
We also tweeted a picture out of our Big Dog shirt we're releasing, and somebody had the fucking stones to upload it on their own third party website and try and sell it.
Wow.
And put it on our fucking Reddit, and they tried to make it seem like we found it somewhere, and it's titled the LCB Limited Edition. Like, no, you went out of your fucking way to go put that up there. I don't know if it was the exact poster who put it, but I commented on our we have our own Reddit, the Lights Camera Pod Reddit.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's nice.
Will I be honest?
Nice place. Civil. Yeah, of course.
Nice.
You can check it tomorrow. Some may like your appearance, some may not. That's typically how it goes.
When
with
does
our
this
guests.
Drop?
This drops in 5 hours.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. I like this.
It's a good. You would like cool. It's a good movie discussion.
I'm starting to get into Trill being on the thing. I you know.
Well, you didn't know what this. You said on radio, you had no idea what the
you're
fuck.
Talking about the whole the mask thing, and I thought it was going to be like a Charlie Brown's teacher. I want like masking his voice.
Well,
I come in and we turn on the while you guys were doing the technical grab ass over there. He came on. He's like, "Hey, Large." I'm like, "Hey, Trill." Like, you were just two regular, regulars. Whatever
Francis tried to explain the Smokin tweet, I believe, on Barstool Radio this morning, which I need to go back and listen to because there's no way that went efficiently.
it's a tough discussion to have with anyone. Actually,
yeah. I imagine you trying to discuss anything right now is mind dumbing.
Anyway, I went on our Reddit and I said,
"That right,
folks."
Every time you say it,
it's my new favorite thing. my comment was I don't know, but I said whoever did this can go fuck themselves.
I thought you were going to say someone snitch tagged Big Dogs in the post.
If someone does that, they can really
auto
fuck
block.
Off.
Auto block. You snitch talk big. You snitch tag Big Dog. You're getting the block.
Anyway, we tweeted the picture out. The shirts are awesome. I don't know when we're going to release them though.
What if Big Dogs had like David Boy's like the guy who is the lawyer with Theranos, just representing them as well. Just real high-powered attorney.
They have the money for that. Yeah. They're selling enough of the Austin Powers, the dog who shagged me shirts.
did you see the Fur-Razor shirt?
Yeah.
We'd never seen their product before.
Yeah, never. We never didn't copy it at all. Ours are just a wolf dog. Trill, you'll start it out. Then Ken Jack, then myself, then Large, and then our audience. We'll do the audience ranking. Top 10 worst sequels. Just read 10 through 6 to start. Trill, you're going to go first. Your 10 through 6 worst sequels ever made.
Okay, my 10's absolutely cheating, but it's the second movie in a reboot. It's Quantum of Solace. Mm. The second movie in the Daniel Craig Bond movies. Number 9 is Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj.
Oh. That was a stinker.
Number, and I love Van Wilder, too. That's a gross
movie. That movie stinks, though.
Van Wilder?
No, Rise of Taj.
Especially since I'm watching the show with Cal Penn on Amazon Prime right now. He's really entertaining.
Cal Penn is
Number 8 is Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Ooh, yeah.
7, Speed 2, Cruise Control. And number 6, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, a.k.a. the one with Vanilla Ice.
I don't hate Ooze enough, but if we did the third movies, Turtles in Time would be my number one without question.
They took a brilliant movie like the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was a really in-depth character examination of four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles living in New York City with an elderly rat, and they completely commercialized it. They bastardized it. Yeah, removed it, stripped it of any nuance, added Kevin Nash playing Super Shredder, and
That ruled, basically
just fucked everything up.
Oh, that's good. That's a really good 10 through 6, actually. Very strong. Nutter, one is on my list. That right, folks. One is on my list.
Two are on my list.
Ooh, okay. Ken Jack, 10 through 6.
My number 10 is every horror sequel ever made. And this is just a fact. There is almost no good horror sequels. I'm not counting stuff like Evil Dead 2, like comedy horror shit doesn't really count. Basically, every horror sequel that has ever been made has been bad and not as good as the first. My number 9, got to include on the list, Star Wars Attack of the Clones. Just god-awful, terrible, I hate sand. Number 8, Ocean's 12. Not nearly as good as the first. It was such a letdown after how amazing the first one was. And maybe not like the worst as far as like overall quality, but it was just such a letdown I had to put it.
Why leave Vegas?
Just makes no sense.
I'll never get that.
Never make sense.
The Julia Roberts plot device. Oh, my God. The Julia Roberts MacGuffin, should I say.
Yeah. Yes. Very much a MacGuffin. My number 7, Caddyshack 2. They should have let that just sit with the
Caddyshack 2.
They should have never made the second one. I don't know what they were thinking. Number 6, The Chronicles of Riddick. I like Pitch Black pretty decent amount. I thought that was a fun movie. And then Chronicles of Riddick just goes and fucks it all up. And then there was one that came after that. I think that was just Riddick, right? The one where they're on like the fire planet.
Uh-huh.
And that one I thought was okay, but the second one was just so bad.
It's that big maze scene at the end where you had to run to avoid the sunset.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Sunrise.
But yeah, Chronicles of Riddick is not very good.
All right, that's another very strong list. Chronicles of Riddick is a strong play there.
Carl Urban, what were you thinking?
My number 10 through 6. Number 10, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just a complete fucking disaster. And number 9, Alien vs. Predator, Requiem. I'm not going to say much more on that. Number 8, I really wanted to put in my top 5, and I'm kind of regretting doing it, but I fucking hate this movie. Now You See Me 2.
Oh, I always forget they made a second.
I don't love the first one, but the second one with Daniel Radcliffe, it is just not a good movie. And it's one of those suspend disbelief movies to try to figure out to try to make it work in your head. And the first one, like Mark Ruffalo, like he was the guy who set it all up. But when you go back and you watch, you're like, there's no fucking way that guy was there. Yeah. So I
first one I found infectious. I liked it. I can watch it again. And the second
I get that.
Yep.
The second one, I would not see eye to eye and understand that. Number 7, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. Very tough movie for me to watch and admit while I was watching it that I hated it because I loved the first one so much. It's one of my favorite movie moments of all time. My friend got kicked out of the theater. The Matrix of Leadership, the thing he picks up, it... A lot of yelling outside of our studio. Right? Holy shit. The Matrix leadership disintegrates in Shia LaBeouf's hands, and my friend goes, ooh, what a fucking twist, out loud in the giant theater in Farmington, Connecticut, and they came and they escorted my friend out of the theater. It was the only enjoyable part of that movie.
Ironside. And that
then,
right.
I wish, and then I wish this was in my top five as well, but we've talked about it enough where it's okay, you know my take, and that is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Mm. So I'm doing what Trill did. It's like a soft reboot. Yeah. Fuck Fallen trash. Kingdom was... awful.
Vince Vaughn, Julianne Moore?
No, that's the one that just
came out.
You're
thinking of Lost World.
Lost World. This is the one that came out this past summer with the clone girl.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
And the dinosaur that you have to point.
You point a gun at somebody, you point your automatic raptor to kill it instead of just shooting them.
Yes,
here, point your automatic weapon at this person. Don't kill them. Let this raptor kill them. Yeah, awesome. That's my 10 through 6. Large, 10 through 6.
My number 10 is Ocean's 12 also. I thought it was a very big disappointment for me because I really liked Ocean's 11.
Yep. And it's my favorite movie of all time.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I love Ocean's 11.
Oof. Tie at 9 fucked up two similar movies from my childhood. So I'm saying Staying Alive and Grease 2 are tied for number 9.
Oh, Grease 2.
Travolta, what were you thinking?
Yeah, so it ruined Saturday Night Fever and Grease.
He wasn't in Grease 2, was he?
No, he was not.
Yeah, I know he was in Staying Alive.
It might have been like Adrian Zmed or somebody like that. It's utterly forgettable. So that's a tie for number 9, Ocean's 12 and Staying Alive and Grease 2. So number 8 would be Highlander 2, The Quickening, because I really loved Highlander. It was one of my favorite movies. I kind of fit in that, like Happy Halloween, Ladies, like that whole...
Oh, the Krogan. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. That's Clancy Brown, Mr. Krabs' voice.
Yeah, and yeah, he's also in The Goldbergs now. Yeah, he's the shop teacher. Weekend at Bernie's 2 is my number 7 because the first one was in 1989, and yet 4 years later, the corpse didn't really smell. It just didn't make a lot of sense. There was a voodoo aspect to it. And then number 6, because I was such a big fan of The Fugitive, was U.S. Marshals. What they did to Tommy Lee Jones's character, who I thought it was, oh, go get me a cane pole and fish him up. The fish that got him. Like, I really liked him. And to turn him into like a quasi-superhero in U.S. Marshals and throw in a little bit of Wesley Snipes, it just doesn't do anybody any favors. So that's my 10 through 6.
Highlander 2, I think you're going to have a chance to talk about again.
Yeah,
the guy to your right now, I'm Ken Jack. I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Right.
And I'm pretty confident it'll be
there. It's coming back.
Okay, cool.
So yeah,
Connor McCloud at Clan McCloud.
Clan McCloud. He always makes a point to say it so goofy like that.
Right. And has there ever been a guy who's less Spanish?
Yeah, less Spanish than Sean Connery. Yeah.
I only blame myself. Ramirez.
Ramirez. Clancy Brown just screaming it in the streets.
The best.
To Scottish fucking Connery.
Right. Audience, 10 through 6. Number 10, Evan Almighty. Number 9, Teen Wolf 2. Mm. Number 8, Cars 2. Number 7, I know. Just drop in the middle of this. I hate the Cars movies, but yeah. Number 7, Caddyshack 2. Mm-hmm. Same as you, Ken Jack, number 7. And then number 6, Son of the Mask. Which was my prediction for number 1.
That was terrible.
Because of obviously Smokin', I thought that would be number 1 for the audience, but it was not. So, yeah. Number 6, Son of the Mask, Trill Ballins, number 5.
Number 5, Hangover Part 2.
Ooh, yeah.
Hangover 1.
Alan's funny because he's bald.
It's a funny movie because it was original, and it. I saw the trailer. It looked very funny. It was out of left field. Mike Tyson in the trailer and the tiger. And then you watch the movie, and it was legitimately funny. And then they decided to do the whole Flanderization thing with Alan, make him just a caricature of an already existing caricature. And they just beat for beat the same movie, pretty much.
It was. Right? It was beat for beat. Like, that was kind of like part of the joke, but it was self-aware, but not self-aware enough. Where, like, 22 Jump Street was very self-aware that it was similar in some respects, where I think Hangover Part 2 just flopped in that.
And, Ken Jeong's character, Leslie Chow, was used the perfect amount in Hangover 1, and they just kept using him more and more, and it became less funny. And I love Ken Jeong, but that's his character.
Very recently in The Office.
Very spot on. Yeah, he was here recently. Ken Jeong, number 5.
My number 5 is Dumb and Dumber 2. Jim Carrey, very famous hater of sequels. He hates them, and he's often said, like, I think they're all money grabs unless you really like the character. That's why I only did Ace Ventura 2, and then he did this. Which I'm pretty sure was also a money grab, and it just stunk. That movie was just awful. It was ass, and it was another one where I didn't have any expectations going into it because I thought it was going to be bad, and it was worse than my expectations were, and that was really disappointing.
Yeah.
Academy Award-winning director, though.
That's actually very true. Damn, I keep forgetting about that. Peter Farrelly.
Right. I have a problem with that. Right. So that's your number five is Dumb and Dumber 2. Mm-hmm. So is my number five Dumb and Dumber not a count, or because it was a prequel?
I guess
because
they didn't count in the canon, right? They didn't count in the canon.
I know, but I'm allowing it, which might be a hint that it's on my list, but I'm
throw it on.
I'm breaking my own rules.
I think we both take it.
Okay. So yeah.
I think it forks in
two separate
both
sequels. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're allowed to, actually, so just say your number five now.
Yeah. No. I'm going. So it's Dumb and Dumber. Right. And so you know, on top of it being an absolutely terrible movie, the only thing was how they kind of had a similarity physically. The one guy looked like Jim Carrey to a degree. That was the only thing that I found charming about it. And this is going to be a little bit parental again, like I said about the trivialization of suicide and the other one, which again, I'm not up in arms about. I didn't write a letter. If you remember in Dumb and Dumberer, they were trying to run a scam with special needs kids. Did you kind of remember that? So, and that's
been
another
a long time.
Yeah. So it was the evil guy who was banging the lunch lady, and they were trying to get extra money by taking advantage of special needs kids and getting these kids into that thing. And that is just no bueno. And I think that would be something that, you know, I talk about my favorite movie of all time is Blazing Saddles, my favorite movie start to finish. That would never get made today, which is a goddamn shame. Mm-hmm. This would never get made today, Dumb and Dumberer.
Oh, for sure.
Harry Met Lloyd. Oh. 2003 after, you know, 1994 was the magnum opus of Dumb and Dumber, but... And you come along 2003 with that fucking steaming piece of shit. Man. So that's my number five.
I'm reading the synopsis for this in Wiki right now. There is a student also known as Ching Chong.
Yeah.
Gotta say, not good.
Yeah, there were some stuff. And again, you know me. I step on toes. I say a lot of inappropriate stuff. But I remember that. It made me go, you know, that was a sheesh moment. And I have plenty of them. I named a sock after someone in the last hour or so. So
yes, that's true. Yes.
Right? I stick with that.
I was going to say the subtitle of Dumber and Dumber or whatever, When Harry Met Lloyd, really timely reference there.
Yes.
Yeah. They nailed it. Yeah.
Just nailed that When Harry Met Sally reference. But that would be 14 years after that movie and then 10 years after the original. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Good pick, though. My number five, Trill, you already mentioned it, and that's Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps. Just a stinker. Not a good movie. Frank Langella is excited about him being in the movie. He dies in the first like 5 minutes of the movie. The Gordon Gekko character is not believable anymore. And Shia LaBeouf just way miscast.
Oh, no.
Completely. Just so not meant for that role.
That's an Ansel Elgort role.
Tried to do the same thing they did with him in Indiana Jones. It's like, this is a new generation of greed on Wall Street.
Do those movies bother you, being a Wall Street man?
So, and again, this is... That's my number four. So I don't want to jump.
All right, we'll wait. Audience number five. Here's one I actually forgot about, and I made my list, so I didn't want to amend it. That's Zoolander 2.
Oh yeah,
Zoolander 2 is awful.
Damn. Oh, that did suck.
Awful.
That was a steaming piece.
I think all of us forgot about it. I just forgot it existed.
Oh god, that was bad. And I saw that in the theater. I had a tough time. I might have did a DNF on that.
That was tough.
DNF worthy. That was a movie I watched after it was released, and I remember I watched it over the span of like 3 days at the gym, and I remember there was one point, if a movie's bad enough and I'm like on the elliptical or something, and I start to notice that I'm on the elliptical, that's when the movie's bad.
That's bad.
Zoolander 2, I was like, oh, fuck, man. Like, this stinks.
Can I ask you a question? Because Taken, in the Taken franchise, was 2 any good?
Oh, let's hold off on that.
Okay.
Ooh. Let's hold off on that.
Because I totally forgot, and it was something that bothered me.
Was the 3 the turkey one?
Yes.
Okay. Let's wait on Taken.
With the world's most interesting man.
That's Trill, you're up for number four.
Number four is Legally Blonde 2.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I happen to enjoy. I quite enjoy the first Legally Blonde.
That's, the bend and snap works every time.
Bend and snap. You got, what's her name? She's so good in...
Reese Witherspoon?
Best in Show.
Stifler's
mom,
right?
No, Stifler's mom character. Yeah. Jennifer something. Anyway, I really liked that. I thought that was a really cute rom-com. I thought that was Reese Witherspoon really owned that role. And then the second one was just continuing the same shit. It was just the same movie, except Elle Woods already got to where she wanted. And everybody knows, like, you know, life ends after you go to law school. So, like, why even continue that?
Right,
like you pretty much die inside once you take the bar, from what I hear. So, like, stop there.
I agree. That was Reese with outer spoon. Like, I thought that was something that yeah, that could fall in the ocean.
Yeah, it was definitely not good. But I don't think it's a hot take to say you like the first one either. I mean,
no, for Legally Blonde 1's great. Legally Blonde 2, it's just the same thing over and over.
Charming as hell. Ken Jack, number 4.
My number 4 is Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, which I think you mentioned had on your list earlier, right, Jeff?
Yep.
So Aliens vs. Predator is not a great movie, right? It's just not. But I think it's one of those ones where when I was in middle school, it was on FX basically every single day, so I would watch it every single day, and like it was enjoyable to that end. Just turn off your brain and like it. And then this one, they make use of the word Predalien for the Predator-Alien hybrid, which is something they just have never given up on, was that hybrid. And had that weird plot of like the ex-con trying to kill the most powerful creature on Earth, blah, blah, blah. And does that sound familiar? It should, because that was the exact plot of The Predator.
Oh, God.
The movie you watched from last year, Boyd Holbrook or whatever. And it was terrible. And this one was terrible, too. It had, I think, Stephen Pasquale was the biggest name in it. The dude from Rescue Me, the really dumb firefighter. Like, congrats on like really wrapping up your sequel to the Alien franchise with that big-ass name. So it was just awful and a disservice to one of my favorite FX movies.
Oh my God! Yeah, it that whole attempt at trying to get that franchise moving was bad, and it's also still bad.
Don't they nuke it at the end?
Alien 3 really started the whole obsession with the alien hybrids.
Yeah, they love it.
Because that was the one with like the dog alien and shit.
Even
just
like
a bunch of it.
But like Prometheus, they're obsessed with it too. That's the only thing they do is like, what can we combine xenomorphs with?
Yeah, and that's the thing. They haven't improved since that. They just continue to make bad ones.
The normal alien isn't deadly enough. I mean, it's already got fucking saliva, acid venom, and now we need to, like, crossbreed it with Santa Claus.
Right. With Medea.
You can do that skit. Go ahead.
I have taken 2 as my number 4, just as you mentioned it.
Ooh, there we go.
I don't like Taken all that much. I just don't. I think it's a. I might be wrong, and if you think I'm wrong, that's fine. You're able to tell me that. But I think Taken is overrated and considered okay by some just because of some of the quotes and some of the lines. People like saying, like, whatever. Like
Marco from Tripoya. Good luck.
What does he say again?
Good luck.
What does he say? What's the phone call? Like, I will find you. Yeah, like that.
I have a very specific set of skills.
Maybe it's because I'm over Liam Neeson and I've just been over him for a long time. Like, I don't even like Qui-Gon. I know you do like Qui-Gon Jinn. Ken Jack, biggest Qui-Gon Jinn fan
of
all time.
It's not shit on Qui-Gon.
Are you a big Star Wars fan?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk about that at some point then in a future pod. But, yeah, he's a big Qui-Gon fan. I'm not. And Taken 2, a theme with my list here, because a lot of my lists, I go by the book. Like, 10 through 1, I rank them by what I rated them. This one, I kind of mix it up more with, like, things that are unnecessary. Taken, I don't like it, but I get it. It did what it was supposed to do. You know, it's a TNT rerun type movie. This one was so unnecessary and so fucking stupid and pointless, and I really did not like Taken. And I don't like the third one either. Or a fourth one, if they made a fourth one I forgot about, which I don't think they did.
Is it Maggie Grace?
You like the third one more than the second one, right? Or do they get progressively worse?
I think in the third one there's a scene, right, where like he just keeps having her blow up grenades to so he could figure out where she is. Like she keeps throwing grenades to like sound figure out where he is, like she's a fucking bat or something. It was sort of a ridiculous movie.
Nah, the both of them, I just don't particularly care for them.
I didn't mind the first one. It was like one of those ones, that movie walked so like John Wick could run. So
I know why people like it.
That I get, but I'm with you in that. Like when I rewatch it today, I don't like it as much. Not nearly.
Large, number 4.
Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oliver Stone movie.
Is it a personal thing? Does that hurt that like you, like...
What? Is it true, like from your experience on Wall Street, that money never sleeps?
Yeah. Warren Buffett had 4
He's sitting at like Luby's in Omaha or whatever. He's like, just remember, money never sleeps.
Yeah,
he's a YouTube inspirational guy now. He's like, rise and grind, baby.
Yeah, he's got a flip phone and a $3 breakfast.
As he drinks his fucking like 4 liter of Diet Cherry Coke.
Right, yeah. So Oliver Stone... first one was in 1990, and 20 years later, it took them 20 years to put this out. They put it out in 2010, right? And so for people who work on Wall Street and people who read papers, something happened in 2008 that really wasn't addressed too much in the 2010 when they did this. And if you even look in the background, some of the places where they had the Dow at was all, like, if you look at a 20-year chart on the Dow, which I just happen to have off, this little dip here cost people retirements their lives, basically. And so if you're wondering how long it was before they put out the movie, 2010 is just here. Right. So there hasn't been a huge, you know, rising tide has lifted all boats. And they really did not pay attention to I don't watch a lot of Wall Street movies. I told you I spent time with Ken Lay. I've traded Enron. I've never seen The Smartest Man in the Room. You know, because I kind of know it. It's like, I don't think a lot of surgeons, you know, want to go watch Malice, you know, or something like that. This one didn't pay attention or respect the industry. And it wasn't overly interesting. And there was a giant fucking gorilla about a meltdown that was never really addressed. And it was such – it could have been such a great fucking movie. And it was sappy, too. Like, I really had zero interest in a character who I fucking loved. Like, I don't like Wall Street movies. I loved Wall Street. I thought Wall Street was a great fucking movie. Mm-hmm. And it came out while I was still in college. I think it came out in 1990. So it wasn't like I was a douchebag at that time yet, or as big a one yet. And so so it was just an all-around disappointment for me, Wall Street 2.
Gordon Gekko, them trying to redeem him, too, at the end. It's just like,
redemption? Greed is good, and all of a sudden we're going for some redemption? It just didn't work. It shouldn't have been made.
You know what movie did do like Wall Street right was The Wolf of Wall Street, because it teaches you the lesson that Jordan Belfort is a pimp and a player, and he's awesome, and he has sex all the time and has money.
Yeah, Quaaludes are awesome.
Sick. Quaaludes are dope.
I still have some.
I like how they did try to do that Jack Welch, like, reinvent your thing, yourself thing with Gordon Gekko, where, like, previously he was known for firing the bottom 10%, and now he's all about inspirational leadership. Gordon Gekko is now giving cinemars. Cinemars.
That right.
Cinemars. That right.
Audience.
So fried.
Audience number four, Anchorman 2. Trill Ballins, number three.
Number three. This was a sequel a lot of people looked forward to because a lot of people had the poster of the movie up in their dorm room. This movie is a Boondock Saints 2.
Yep.
This movie sucked. And the Boondock Saints wasn't that great, but if you saw it at the right time in your life, if you saw Boondock Saints when you were 18, this was the best fucking movie ever made, man. This was a classic. You'd watch this over and over. You drink a few of those, like, raspberry Smirnoffs straight from the dorm freezer. Watch Boondock Saints. You're like, dude, I don't know why this movie wasn't nominated for the Oscar. I can't wait to buy the Criterion Collection version of this movie. It's fantastic. And then the sequel came out, and it's a big pile of shit, and it just makes sense. Because the first Boondock Saints, you go back and rewatch it, not that great.
It's not watchable.
If you watch it when you're 18, great fucking movie. Watching the sequel just reminds you it's not that great of a movie, and it's on this list. Not that great of a movie. Can I see Baby?
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, baby.
What did she think of Boondock Saints?
What do you think? You said Dada? You said Dada? Dada?
Oh, she always goes to the pop filter. Always goes to the pop filter.
Can you tell us about burrow couches?
You want to do an ad read? You could probably do it better than I did it today.
She didn't like the disrespect for Burrow.
When someone says they like Friday boots more than Thursday boots.
She's a beautiful kid, Trill. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I love her. I don't know, man. It's funny because I never thought it'd be the guy who looks at, like, pictures of their kid all day, but, like, I'm at work sometimes, and I'll just be, like, looking at my pictures. I'll be like, oh, damn, there's my kid. And I'll show other people, and I remember me not caring. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your kid. And now the cycle recapitulates itself. Like, look
you're
at my
guy.
Fucking kid.
Yeah, you're the
look
guy.
At my kid. Look at my baby.
My guy's outside. I'll bring him in.
Anyway, Boondock Saints 2. Good pick, Trill. Ken Jack.
Was this number three, Ron, right? My number three is Son of the Mask, made by my good cousin Jamie Kennedy. It's just terrible. It was just all god-awful. Tragically miscast as like a deadbeat dad artist or whatever. They also... A little side note here. So they make the mask part of Loki's lore. So it's Loki's mask. So this technically kind of loops into the MCU.
It does.
We got Jamie Kennedy now joining the MCU. The mask could be part of this. Who knows?
It was also a ridiculous costume decision to give him mask hair.
Yes. Why was there mask hair?
He did have it.
Who is that erectile dysfunction Bob?
Oh, yeah. That's kind
Smiling
of like.
Bob?
Yeah.
Smiling Bob. It looked like Smiling Bob from the Boner Pill.
That sounds like a Trump nickname. It does. Smiling Bob.
Yeah, that movie.
Silent Bob Woodward.
That's an easy movie to see why it sucked. Like, you look at it, you look at the concept, you look at the plot, you look at the character, you're like, that just stinks. Like, just up and down, no questions asked, bad idea to even make that movie. Fucking blows. Good pick, Ken Jack. My number three, a movie I gave a 7 out of 100, I believe. Another movie that had a sequel many years after the first. That's Independence Day 2.
Ooh. Who was awful. Recently that said they loved that?
Never saw it.
Good. Keep it that way.
Yeah, I was told by too many people I respected to not see it, and I never saw it.
That is an awful fucking movie.
We had someone on that said they loved it. I don't remember who, though.
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
But just, I mean, disservice to the characters, stupid storyline. It fucking reeked. I hate that movie. How dare you make Jeff Goldblum perform in that?
How dare you stand where he
stood? How dare you put Jeff Goldblum in that fucking movie? Just, I have honestly nothing more to say about it. I wish we would have been doing the podcast when that movie came out, though. Mm. I hated that.
That would have been a
great one. And they all came on and did interviews on our show back then when it came out, and a lot of them, except for Jeff Goldblum, I believe, were trying to hype it up like something really good. Like, what's his face is in it? Liam Hemsworth. That's right.
Oh yeah.
He's like I think it really pays homage. And I remember seeing it like, this is a fucking joke. Awful. Large number three.
Number three, I'm going to go Escape from L.A. I don't think you guys are over familiar with Escape from L.A.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love Escape from New York. Okay. Snake Plissken, all-time name.
Oh, yeah. So Snake Plissken does a fantastic job. And so it was 1981 when Escape from New York came out. Mm-hmm. I was 10. It was gritty. Yeah. Like, that was gritty.
Is it Clemens in that? Or no, what's his name? Don. Oh, fuck.
Ox Baker was in it. Remember
who was
that?
The president in that? I always forget his name.
Oh,
he was in Great Escape, which we were talking about before.
Fuck.
Don Clements? Well, Don Clements is fuck. This is really annoying me.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was 1981. So they wait 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? And so 15 years is too late to keep that cult of Snake Plissken engaged, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they do it with something special. And it was still with John Carpenter, right? So they wait 15 years and they give you a movie that culminates with a CGI surf scene. Where he surfs out of L.A.
Yep.
And that surf scene was probably 15 years too early because it really was Lawnmower Man-esque mm-hmm. as far as green screen and stuff. And it was, yeah, absolutely. Like, he just moved his head. There was no core work on the way that he surfed. It was terrible. And the reason that I put it on there is because I really, you know, you have a couple of movies that you watched over and over again and rented over and over again from, like, fucking Royal Video. And that was Escape from New York for me. So Escape from L.A. And New York is so much better than L.A. You know, so,
it just is.
Yeah, it's just
like, yeah, you want to escape from L.A. I get it.
Right.
Were you Big Trouble and Little China Guy?
My kid was having problems with, he had a big test today, and I was like, Finn, we're at a point now where it's Jack Burton. You know what Jack Burton says? And he's like, yeah. And so that's what he says, what the hell?
That's awesome.
And he's like, you know, and I said, right? So he's all of a sudden going up against people, and he said, you know, Cheng, let's go do it. He's like, no, Dad, the guy's name is Wang. I'm like, oh, my God, my kid loves it as much as I do. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm a big fan of Big Trouble in Little China.
It was fucking Donald Pleasance, by the way. I messed that up.
Donald Pleasance.
Isaac Hayes was in that, too. Harry D. Stanton, big rip.
Yeah.
Ugh. Lee Van Cleef.
What else
oh
was
my
Donald,
God! This movie
what was
so
Donald
sick.
Pleasance in that?
He was in Great Escape, which you were talking about earlier, but a ton of other stuff.
Yeah,
and he was in the horror movie, the big
the Halloween. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's the original
Escape from L.A.
What's his name? What's his original name?
In
Mike
Halloween?
Myers.
Yeah, Sam Loomis.
Loomis. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, Loomis.
Not a Captain Ron guy though. In terms of the Kurt Russell filmography.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would give that. I'll agree with you there. I'm trying to think of.
Soldier. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think it might have been.
Oh, yeah. When he was the older cyborg.
Yeah, the older cyborg
and
soldier.
And trashed him out.
Yeah, in the trash planet.
That was good. That was washable. Yeah.
The Last Commando? Or
something. Shoot. Something like that. I'm going to go find it.
Right.
But that one was really fun. That was a really
fun
movie.
I remember playing Nintendo games of all those Kurt Russell movies that ruled. They just make a side scroller out of anything.
He was also in a pretty good horror movie where they kidnapped his wife on the road. Like, some truckers did, and he had to go get his wife back. It was like a sneaky, scary, like, this could happen to me any day now. And then I'm married 20 years now, and I'm like, waiting for it.
What was it called? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It was pretty gritty, too.
I think that was Miracle.
That's a good guy. Okay. Number three for the audience, Blues Brothers 2000. Ooh. Blues Brothers 2000. Not good. Trill, number two.
Number two for me, The Matrix Reloaded.
Mm.
This was really you think about key moments in your life where you take away how you learned, like what certain feelings actually feel. Like we all remember our first heartbreak. This was me in my first big disappointment. I was a huge Matrix guy. Had the DVD. I loved it. Again, one of these movies that's great when you're 17. You think it's the best movie ever created. Then this piece of shit comes out in 2002, sponsored by General Motors, where every car is a fucking Cadillac or a GM vehicle. You got two guys with like white dreadlocks floating in between the cars. You got a giant like subterranean orgy scene.
Oh, that
you have just the other weird shit going on. Then the big hyped moment of this film was like the 100 Agent Smith versus One Neo mm-hmm. fight. And even when that came out, it looked like absolute shit. And The Matrix was known for its special effects, obviously. I can't think of how many movies the whole bullet time camera spinny thing around was used up on wires. But then this fight just looked really bad. And I was so upset because I thought they could have made this a really good trilogy, and it ended up being a good movie with two shitty movies attached to it, even though I think Revolutions wasn't as bad as Reloaded. I think it somehow was a little okay, but Reloaded stunk.
The Siege on Zion in 3, or that was that one, right? Where like they were on the mech suits like fighting the squid things.
CGI got worse for me from the first one to the second one. And then they tried to do more bold things, but I mean,
I know they say the Wachowskis planned it as a trilogy, but I really don't think it was planned as a trilogy. It doesn't feel it's not cohesive. The story doesn't feel that way to me. I don't know. Disappointing.
Yep, very disappointing.
I'm just looking forward to a future where my internal organs are harvested for power. Is that too much to ask?
No. Someday, sure.
So many more efficient modes.
Breaking news, Will Smith has exited James Gunn's Suicide Squad sequel.
That's twisted. Oh, one thing I wanted to add. I think somebody mentioned it somewhere. Is it weird that the CGI Pokemon look better than the CGI Genie?
Considering the volume of Pokemon, I would say yeah.
I guess it's weird that that's what ended up happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pokemon. Right, the Pokemon look really good in that movie.
That's been your Will Smith update for the week.
Yeah.
Oh, a Ray Liotta update. Ray Liotta is supposed to be cast in the Sopranos prequel movie, Knights of whatever Newark or whatever it's called.
What's a smoking update? Is he still not smoking?
He loves Chantix. This guy. I was going to used to smoke. Now I love Chantix. He's basically smoking a cigarette while he does the ad.
By the way, we got a wrap here, so I don't want to stick too long on this, but does somebody have a product in this office that it's nicotine gum? Like, not Nicorette, nicotine gum.
Oh, like gum specifically designed to get you buzzed rather than weed you off of cigarettes?
So do you think there's anyone who mixes together their Nicorette with the nicotine gum? I wonder if that does it. It's like, does it just cancel out where it's nothing?
Just give you juuling and doing Nicorette gum at the same time. That kind of rules.
Yeah, I don't know. Just something to think about.
Nothing better than that feeling of being addicted to gum. I just love that shit. Put it in Big League Chew. Just put nicotine in Big League Chew, and that way you get the full chewing tobacco experience almost.
Yeah.
Without the tobacco.
I like your product. Ken Jack, number two.
We don't have to sit on this one too long. Speed 2, Cruise Control. That was awful. Replacing Keanu Reeves with, what was it, Jason Patrick?
Jason Patrick.
Terrible idea. Just, it was awful. Put it on a boat. Yeah, terrible. Oh, such bad chemistry compared to Keanu and Bullock. It was just awful. Don't really want to talk about it anymore. I just remember being super disappointed because I loved Speed 1.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it as well, too.
The boat ended up crashing into the dock, by the way. They didn't fully stop it, if I recall. It wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe was. That's where that meme came from, right?
Yeah,
like his crazy one of his many crazy face memes that went around. I think that's what that's from.
By the way, Spider-Verse is re-releasing this weekend.
Michael, that's
theaters. Cool. If you haven't seen it in IMAX,
might go see
it in
Dolby if I can.
Yeah, I think I might go see it in IMAX. My number two. This is a movie. The original was creative. It's not a good movie. It's not a great movie, but it was entertaining for what it was. It did its job, and that was Bruce Almighty, so my pick is Evan Almighty.
Mm.
They took the Steve Carell character, who was funny in the first one only because he was mumbling,
This is your Melissa McCarthy point for the Oscars all over again, essentially. Like, just saying, like, yeah, it's funny because, like, it's in a small dosage and not, yes, like, entirely stretched out.
Yes, exactly. That's what we were talking about, the fact that people are like, well, Melissa McCarthy hosts the Oscars. Like, no, you like that because that was just her for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, so this was did not need to have a character for the Evan Almighty guy. There's, like, Noah's Ark. It's just so bad.
It's a terrible movie.
John Goodman was, like, the Speaker of the House, I think. I might even be wrong on that. It was him or Jeff Garlin. It was a bigger actor. It was one of them.
One of us. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're tall and powerful. That's we describe you. It was just not good. Unnecessary. Again, that's the theme of my list. An unnecessary sequel. Nobody asked for or wanted. And then your number two.
It was Speed 2. Cruise Control. So I don't know if you want to. And I was just remembering. It wasn't even. They didn't replace Keanu. She dropped Jack and she started dating Alex. So Jason Patrick was a different dude. Yeah, and they switched it. Good. Like, I kind of. And Keanu didn't sign on because he went to go do Macbeth. That's why he didn't Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Good shit.
It's funny to say out loud, too. Yeah, they went from a bus that was crashing into everything to a fucking giant ship that was kind of chugging along in the Caribbean. I don't know. I don't know how they made it.
Let's make the crossover movie trill. Dad Boat. Speed 2 Cruise Control. Combine it. Poor Serenity. We fried that movie.
They should make another Speed 2 that's they got to prevent people from getting norovirus on a cruise ship and just shitting all over the halls.
Did you ever watch Serenity?
No, I never saw it.
We got to get you to watch it.
Okay.
We got an HD screener of it. So. Ugh. All right, number two for the audience, The Hangover Part 2. There you go, Trill.
Nice.
I agree with you. Belong in the top 10. Number one, worst sequel you've ever seen, Trill Bolins.
Got to be Blues Brothers 2000. Mm. I'm up there with the audience. Blues Brothers had fucking Cab Calloway in it. Had Aretha Franklin, which Blues Brothers 2000 had in it. It was a movie full of heart, which was good. It was probably the first good Saturday Night Live movie. I can't think of another one that early that was that good. Great film. Blues Brothers 2000. Obviously, Belushi cannot have him in the movie. You replace him with John Goodman. That doesn't matter. It's not because of him. It just was a shitty movie. And yeah, the kid Blues Brother, stupid. Tell me you have a kid in there, you just lose me. I hate it. I hate it, guys.
Bad movie.
It's a good reason to hate it. It does suck. It didn't make my list, but it was definitely
very
up
close
there.
For me, yeah.
Top 15. It's awful.
And how dated does anything sound now with 2000 behind? No,
yes. Just, oh, yes.
They named this 2000. Do you know when it released? February 6,
1998. I didn't realize that.
They named it Blues Brothers 2000 almost two fucking whole years before the actual turn of the millennia.
God, anything with the millennium, people were so fucking obsessed of back then. Everything. Force it into everything. Cheerios had millennials. Backstreet Boys, millennium. Everything was fucking... Anything you could tie to the turn of the century.
Yeah. Actually, that was...
Large in corporate America.
Blues Brothers, Cheerios, and Backstreet Boys. Yeah. That was it.
Were people in industry freaked out about the Y2K thing?
Yeah, so we all had to come in. Right, everyone was in at 4 a.m. The guys were working around the clock. All the tech guys, because all the clocks were going to—they weren't set up to. You remember the story, obviously, right? Like they were kind of ticking along 1900. So when it was going to do that, it was actually going to revert back to the year zero, instead of the year 2000, and it wound up being nothing. So, and we pumped millions of dollars into making sure it wasn't going to be something. Stakes were high. And they pumped it as the reason we spent millions of dollars and it avoided it. I don't think it was going to be a problem.
I was in high school, so I was an asshole. So I'd be like, it would fucking rule if this happened.
Yeah, bring down the system.
Yeah.
Fuck the man. Yeah. Crash. Hack the Gibson, man.
You're just like photoshopping yourself into the Fight Club end sequence. Did that come out after that? I don't know.
Fight Club? Fight Club came out 99.
Okay, good.
It was like 90. It's
appropriate reference.
I think people say 99 is one of the greatest years in film.
That was a great year.
Fight Club came out there.
So you're number one, Blues Brothers 2000. Ken Jack, number one?
You probably guessed it, yeah, Highlander 2, Highlander The Quickening. Two, yeah. Broke all the Highlander canon and turned them from like sort of cool demigod dudes to aliens for some fucking reason. And a lot of the movie just wasn't finished. And I remember I watched like a mini doc on this, and apparently it's because like the bonding company for the movie took over production and just in the middle of it. And they're like, yeah, like you guys are out of money, so we're just going to, you guys don't have creative control anymore. So they took it over, and it didn't fly with the director. Like they didn't, he hated the movie when it came out. He refused. He walked out of its premiere. They couldn't get equipment because they filmed the whole thing in Argentina. And instead of flying them down the proper equipment, they just used whatever they could find in the general vicinity of like Buenos Aires, whatever. And it was all shitty, which is why the camera quality is crap and why the special effects quality is crap. And Sean Connery only filmed on the set for 6 days. And you could tell because he just does not, like, there are scenes where they very clearly should have reshot and they didn't because he just left immediately. And him, I think Michael Ironside and Christopher Lambert, they accidentally hurt each other like multiple times because they were drunk on set the entire time, apparently, and coked out. it was such a fucking disaster of a film, and it's start to finish. And it's almost comical looking back and watching it because that's how bad it is. But at the same time, it made me upset because, like you, I loved the first Highlander.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie. The Krogan, the scene where he's playing chicken with the whatever her name was, like for driving down the street, it's fucking great.
The reason that things made it to my top five were because it wasn't even the quality of the movie necessarily. It was how poorly it reflected upon its predecessor.
Yeah. Yes.
How much it ruined something that was special to me. Like the fucking Highlander was the movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time. And you almost felt cool, like almost Blade Runner-ish.
Yes,
kind of digging it. And they totally took a fucking steamy dump all over it.
Yeah, and there's like a hoverboard scene.
The hoverboard scene.
That was awful.
Princes of the Universe. The Queen themed to Highlander.
I was about to say.
Much better than the Flash Gordon theme.
Yeah.
We're talking about Queen composing title songs. Did you ever watch the Highlander TV series on USA?
No, God, no.
I think I watched it before Silk Stockings came on, which I wasn't supposed to watch. Love that shit.
I vaguely understand.
Yeah. Time for Silk Stockings. 8 years old. Watch this.
For me, it was that same age waiting for those beautiful steel drums of Girls Gone Wild coming on at midnight.
It's like basically ZZ.
Yeah.
My number one is one of the most pathetic movies I've ever seen in my life. I didn't rate movies back in 2003, but this is a 0 out of 100. Without even like a shred of doubt. And this is back in the time where only 2 years before this, I actually enjoyed, I was, at the age of 10, I enjoyed the Planet of the Apes remake. Like, my dad had shown me the old Planet of the Apes. I really enjoyed them. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is the same thing, right? That was in 2001. 2 years later, Dumb and Dumberer came out. And that might be the first movie I remember ever saying to myself. Now, I was 12. I didn't even say this. But, like, in my head, I would have thought this is a piece of shit. Like, I remember saying, this is a bad movie. It's one of the first movies I ever remember seeing in theaters saying, this is bad. Saw it at the Lowe's in Plainville, Connecticut. I'll never forget seeing it. That's the moment where I think I realized the dreams die with movies sometimes, and movies can just be bad. Man, I still, hey, and that's back when I liked Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace. And it wasn't Phantom Menace. It was this. This was the one that I was like, huh, this is a bad movie. And it's a pathetic movie. And the third Shia LaBeouf movie in my top 10.
Wow.
He was in this one. He was in Wall Street 2. He was in Transformers, and he was in this as well.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber is awful. Again, pathetic. It was a pathetic attempt at a movie on their part. And I still to this day don't know what they're trying to do.
Right.
I don't know why they thought that would work.
Yeah. I thought it was horrific. I don't know how this shit gets made.
It's unreal. Yeah. Large, you're number one.
So my number one, I apologize, guys, but it's the oldest one, so you guys might be left out of the conversation. But when I was 11 years old, I had seen a movie, and it blew my fucking mind, and I only had to wait 2 more years for the fucking sequel. So it was a godsend to come, and it was Conan the Destroyer. Because I love Conan the Barbarian so fucking much. Mm-hmm. You know, what is good,
the lamentations
Conan
of the women.
Yeah, crush your enemies, see them dream before you, and see the lamentation of the women, like all that shit. And like I was moving broomsticks with the greatest of ease, and then they bring out this new one. And so picture me, I was a little bit chubby back then, but I'm 13 and Conan's coming out, and Wilt Chamberlain's in it.
Yeah, that's right,
Wilt Chamberlain. And then Grace Jones is in it. And Grace Jones had this weird pull up to my bumper baby in your long black limousine. Like, we all knew she was talking about big black dicks. And then on top of it all, Olivia Diabo is in it. Do you remember who she was?
Vaguely.
Yeah, so she was special. So it had all those. And then obviously Arnold was back. And it was an from start to finish, it was unintelligible, the CGI or whatever. It was more like claymation in it of that. I don't even know what the thing's name was at the end. Was Dagoth was the thing where they had to take the jeweled horn in his head. Was embarrassing. The ending was as bad as the beginning. And so it was just a steaming piece of dog shit. And I hate it. It's Conan the Destroyer.
That, again, you're young. You're around the age when I saw not that Dumb and Dumber had any. Not that Dumb and like I don't even love
One of my
Dumb
favorite
and Dumber.
Pictures. That's right. The best thing to come out of this is the picture of Wilt Andre the Giant and Conan and Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he looks like the smallest human alive.
Right.
Like, I don't like Dumb and Dumber like most people do, so it's not really a too great comparison because you obviously like. The first
loved,
Conan,
yeah.
But that's around the same age for me, where you're like, right. Oh, you're like, damn.
And how you know, because you can pronounce it Conan, and everyone my age pronounces it.
I always said it Conan, always pronounces it and Conan. I'm sure it's wrong. But
No, it's Conan O'Brien, but when you grew up and you're my age, it's Conan. And I don't call him Conan O'Brien because I know I have to like hold myself back, but it's Conan the Destroyer and Conan the Barbarian.
Funny,
it's fucking weird, right?
James Earl Jones in that first one too, right?
Oh. The best bangs that ever fucking lived.
Ever.
I mean, those are bangs.
We turn slowly into that snake. Oh.
Oh man, I loved it. So,
and I'm looking at the cover art too, and like the original cover art, like the main promo art was so fucking awesome.
Oh, the iconic with the one sword
holding up the sword. Yeah, yeah. And then you got this other one, and this one looks like the cover for a romance novel.
Yes.
Where like you're reading about Arnold touching your loins.
That's it. Wasn't Jason
Momoa in the reboot of this?
Yes, he did. Yeah, the reboot, yeah. Conan the Barbarian.
Yes, that's right. I remember that movie being vaguely bad, but nothing else about it at all.
I kind of compare that movie to when The Rock played Hercules.
Oh, yeah. Like that was such a forgettable movie.
They all have the same, right? They belong in the same bucket.
Remember I, Frankenstein?
Oh, my God.
Weird
Aaron
Eckhart, yeah.
That was with the kickoff of Universe. You know that, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Number one for the audience. Let's get a guess here. I'll give you a hint. Has a very similar cast to that of Pixels.
Very similar.
Oh, Grown Ups 2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grown Ups 2. Yep.
Grown Ups 1. My criteria, I tried to stick to sequels where I thought the first movie was good.
That's it. It was either going to be that for me or one where I thought it was so unnecessary that it was terrible. But Grown Ups 2 is so bad that I wouldn't have put it on there. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the original Grown Ups, like, I wouldn't have expected much out of Grown Ups 2, but something like Escape from L.A. or Escape from New York is such a great movie, and then you had such a huge drop-off.
Yeah, no,
it's
for
whack.
Sure. These were all really good picks. This is a very diverse set of lists. We had a couple crossovers, but we named some bad sequels. There's a couple on here that I would have potentially had but didn't crack the top 10. Hills Have Eyes 2. Which came out years after the original, came out in 2000s. My roommate in college fucking loved it freshman year. Awful.
The first one is scary as shit. Can't
Awful.
Lie. That one
scared actually,
me.
It might have been after freshman year. I think it might have been 2007.
Is that the one where they're in like the Nuke House or whatever? Or is that the first one too?
Yeah, just.
Is that the one with The Weeknd where you find out he's the real him?
Good music reference from 6 years ago.
I just love it. Just when I'm talking about movies. That's the real me.
Triple X 2, State of the Union with Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Another bad one. The Ring 2, awful. Especially The Ring was a cultural phenomenon. I mean, everyone knew, like, 7 days, right? Like, that was well known. RoboCop 2 and then Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, I saw that when I did some legwork on this. I saw that show up. I thought that Taken 3 was worse than Taken 2, which is worse than Taken 1. That's why I couldn't commit.
That's
I
fair.
I liked Taken, yeah.
That's fair.
But I walked out of Taken 3.
Taken 3. Oh, my God.
I was sitting to my wife. I was like, why don't we go drink? She's like, yeah, let's go.
It's just bad.
Kind of like Too Fast, Too Furious. Didn't love it, but I couldn't put it in my top 5 or top 10. What was it? That video game for that one. I always mention this on the pod. Somehow it comes back to this. I love that video game.
Classic. When the video game's better than the movie, never good.
Yes. But now it's good, though, because now I associate the movie with the game.
That's fair.
Clerks 2. Nobody mentioned.
Oh, yeah, Clerks 2.
I liked Clerks 2.
I didn't hate Clerks 2 either.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid versus Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. See what
they
did there?
I saw that when I was a baby. Yeah.
He crushes Vegas.
Look, you saw the first one, right? We shrunk the kid, right? Okay, now this one, let's do the opposite.
Yeah.
The kid
that's the Thursday Boots guy.
Yes,
I was about to say,
Thursday Boots.
The kid had an amazing playscape in their house, though.
I don't remember it enough.
Yeah, if you've seen it, it's a very cool playscape. And rest in peace to
Rick Moranis,
who's not dead,
but
retired. He's
not dead. He's coming back, I've heard, though.
Yeah. Really?
He's making a comeback.
Have we talked? I think we might have talked about
that. Yeah, I think we referenced this. Like, he's making a foray back into acting.
God, I love
Rick Moranis.
Great guy.
Return to the Blue Lagoon.
We didn't touch on this. We didn't touch on this on the Oscars night, but we had Mike Myers and Dana Carvey come on stage. They reunited a little bit. And, you know, Mike Myers is Canadian. Rick Moranis is Canadian, I believe. I don't think Dana Carvey's Canadian, but if you told me he was Canadian, I'd believe that.
Yes.
Because he looks Canadian to me. So maybe we get a little resurgence here from the Canadians.
Maybe so. Mike Myers, though, after Love Guru, really kind of fell off.
Deli Villeneuve has all the power here. He's a Canadian. He could draft nothing but Canadians for the rest of Dune.
Did you call him Deli Villeneuve?
I just fucked it up. I know I did. It's a long night.
Deli Villeneuve, right.
Deli Villeneuve.
Villeneuve. Come on the Paul one time.
All right. Yeah, we're on all cylinders.
We have a guest. Before we thank Large, we have a very big guest on Sunday's pod.
Ooh, huge.
Our biggest guest yet, and an Academy Award winner,
actually. No offense, Large.
Physically biggest? No. I'm physically your
physically
biggest
you're
guest.
The biggest. Yes, you are for sure.
You're definitely bigger than 6'5",
285.
Not even close.
Find something. Yeah.
Actually, is he bigger than this guest?
No.
Do you know that one picture I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, he's definitely not taller.
No.
All right.
Taller.
No giveaways here. No giveaways. But
oh, really?
Yeah, we do have our first Academy Award winner on the pod, and like a recent. We'll say that. But we're very excited to talk to him. That'll air on Sunday. We're doing the interview this week, and then I think that's it. Thanks a large for coming on. We've been talking about this a while. We're glad we did that. We'll do a good movie next time.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. This was easy as pie. Let me know.
Yeah, you're the movie watcher here besides us. So.
Yeah, we'll keep doing it.
Thanks. Tune in to Barstool Breakfast on SiriusXM.
Yeah, 7 to 9. Podfathers, Barstool Breakfast, a little thing called Barstool Gold.
Extra large.
There's nothing wrong with that. Thanks, guys. Good to meet you, Trill.
Bleep that. Trill, anything else?
That's it for me. Let's let Large get home.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do that. For Ken, Jack, Trill, Large, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday. Are you going to say the fucking thing?
Oh, have a good week at the box office.